Live from the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood,
this
is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
A place of our own without a lot of parents staring down our backs.
Radio worth watching.
And here we go.
Back to old faithful. It is the Schmozno Podcast. Hey, guys, what's going on? We're back. Back after a week off. It's myself, Christian Harloff.
And I'm Mark Ellison. My God, that intro music just felt so good to hear. Yeah, because I remember the time that you and me were just mere fighter pilots hoping for a shot at the big time.
Oh, you mean the pre-intro music.
The pre-intro music. Yeah, the Top Gun theme.
It was nice. There's a reason for all that
stuff.
Steve
Stevens.
Yeah. We ask you guys on Twitter. By the way, hello, Schmoville. Thank you for joining us back again on the Schmozno Podcast. We ask you guys for suggestions on scores. And it's like Wednesday or Thursday, we ask you guys, and you guys suggest a whole bunch. This one was Top Gun was one of the Miss Movies suggested it.
Thank you, Miss Movies, because that's a great guitar score. And what better score to have than some kick-ass rock guitar? Speaking of kick-ass, Christian.
Man, let's get into this
shit. What a show. What a program we have lined up for the kids tonight.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on today. I mean, of course, when we start the show, we always do the movie news. The latest news to break, what's going on in the movie world. We'll talk, give your opinions and stuff. Tiffany Smith, our great co-host, is out at the Wolverine Junket this weekend in New York, so she will not be here. Megan Finley is in the L.A. traffic.
She's coming up the elevator as we speak.
Okay.
That's stuck in some Hollywood bowl.
Well, she will be joining us tonight, and she will be joining
Stevie Nicks at the bowl.
Boy, is Tiffany missing out tonight, man.
Yeah, Tiffany, is that what the rumor is, that she's there for the Wolverine Junket?
Or
is
she hung out with El Maimbe.
And by the way, you know who else is there?
No.
Finstock.
Oh, that's Finstock, not a coincidence.
No, it's not. Finstock is in New York.
It's their honeymoon. Come on, we should be
happy
for
saying. This Wolverine thing's a sham.
Finstock went to Jared. He got a ring made of adamantium,
and
they're a happy couple.
No, he got a ring made of pizza. And
it's
pizza
made
crust. That's better than the Wolverine joke that I had prepared for an hour. He made a ring of pizza.
I don't use notebooks.
Yeah. he made an elven ring instead of some kind of.
He wouldn't even know what an elven ring was.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about the guy, the Killer Joe. I love the scene with the buffalo wing. All right, so here's this cool stuff going on the show tonight.
Awesome. We saw a little film today.
We did. It's called The Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
Scary as shit. And she doesn't have. Wait a minute. We signed on for pink hair.
Yeah, sorry.
Is that why Megan Finley's late? Because she had to get all that pink out.
Yeah, she had to get all
She went
hair.
To the Game of Thrones Khaleesi hairstyling.
It worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
It's very Targaryen. Yes.
Megan Finley joining us once again. Welcome back to Schmoville.
Oh, thanks. And I'm sorry that I'm not Tiffany or any other.
Oh, you stopped
hot
that.
Girls on the list.
No apologies.
That's all right.
We're
all
happy
right.
to have you. One woman said that, you know what? As cute as Hugh Jackman is, I'm not flying across the country for him. I'm going to sit in with the schmoes.
That's right.
Wow.
Now you are joining us because Tiffany's the one missing out because you are joining us for a special show tonight. I don't know if how much you know, but tonight Mark and I were just talking. We saw The Conjuring today.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Yeah, and the writers of The Conjuring, Chad and Carrie Hayes, are coming on the show tonight. They're
twins, which is scary enough for me. Twins are my clowns.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, like some people just have an irrational fear of clowns. I see twins, and I'm like, wait.
Yeah, but then you meet them. We met them beforehand, and they're the coolest guys.
Coolest that we dined with them? Well, you guys ate. I ate.
Yeah. But Mark showed up to a sushi joint and threw down a Jamba Juice cup on the table. That was nice. but nothing. But anyway, so.
Japanese food. I'm not going to eat that.
Yeah, it's like, this is how much I don't like a Japanese food. Here's my Jamba Juice. I'm going to put it on another table. Now, we're going to talk to them about the movie, everything that they told us, some stories that we can't wait to tell you guys. And Schmoville asked a bunch of questions about like how the writing process starts and things that they learned on set. And we're going to ask them all that stuff. So tweet that in, guys, by the way, at Schmozno, or go to Facebook, facebook.com/Schmozno. Any questions you want to ask the Hayes brothers are going to be in here probably around the 8:30 area.
Do our homework for us and let us know what you want us to ask the Hayes brothers. And after bid us adieu, we're going to have a very funny comedian buddy of ours, Lou Santini, is going to be sitting in for an epic conversation about an epic topic, robots v. monsters in honor of Pacific Rim.
I love that. Our favorite robots.
My necklace that I wore for you guys today?
Is that?
Stare at my boobs for a
There's
second.
There's a necklace there?
from hearing about Ken Knapp's podcast, the Knapsack Files, we talked a lot about your necklace.
About my boobs?
Oh, about your boobs.
What droid is that?
What
droid is that?
What's just that? A cheap one from Melrose.
No, is it a
it's
famous
a
film droid?
No,
I've never hated my computer as much as I do right now.
I know, you're blocking.
Johnny Ice just stood on a ladder.
Yeah.
Fabulous view.
Ice.
Anyway, I accessorized for the evening.
Yeah, we're going to have Lou in. We're going to talk about monsters and robots. And then By the way, and we'll talk. We're going to Comic-Con next week. We'll preview that. We'll talk about that. But
oh my God, is that next week already? God,
we have a new member of the podcast, a brand new member. Yeah. That
what?
Is yeah, because the kid has left us. Shoesy Pants has left us. We have a new member called the Winkleman. The Winkleman can, and he's going to be calling in tonight. We don't exactly know everything he's going to be doing yet. He's going to explain that to Schmoville. He'll be calling in
he's
later.
He's going to call in and tell us why he's a member of Schmoville?
Yes. Well, why? Well,
he's going to let you know why he's doing
this. Is he applying for a job, or does he already have the position?
Yeah, he's got the position, but he's going to let Schmoville know what he's doing. And you guys should follow this guy. It's at the Winkleman can, and trust me, you're going to want to follow him because he's going to have some cool news later on. That's later. Now, Ken...
Yes, sir.
You look a little disheveled today.
It's
you
been a long month.
Anytime you don't have the suit on, you are a disaster. You know this.
It's true, and I have my gray beard coming in.
Yeah, you're very calm now, but before the show started, you looked
professional.
I mean, you look like Michael Keaton when he was in that alcoholic movie, whatever that thing
it's
was.
Clean
called.
And sober, and you know
clean
what? Look, I've been to Vegas, and sometimes when you're out in the daylight, you see the pit bosses, and they're not in their environment. They're not controlling people or trying to count cards. They're just trying to live their life, mowing the lawn in a bathrobe. That's what Kenny looks like. Does he still have it with the news? We're about to
find out. Iceman, let's get it rocking.
I'm Ken Apsack, and these are your Schmozno headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. The website Den of Geek is reporting that there are finally character confirmations for three major Guardians of the Galaxy castings, these being Benicio Del Toro, Lee Pace, and Karen Gillan. As previously thought, Del Toro will be playing the Collector, most likely the film's big baddie. Lee Pace will play Ronan the Accuser, and Gillan and her Kissed by Fire hair will play Nebula, a so-called space pirate who claims to be the granddaughter of Thanos. The full cast list is set to be announced at next week's San Diego Comic-Con. If you're still trying to figure out who and what the Guardians of the Galaxy are, then just go back to taking a nerd's lunch money. During an appearance on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, Jeff Daniels confirmed that the on-again, off-again sequel to Dumb and Dumber is on. Daniels alleged that the script is, quote, hysterical, and the production will start in September, though he does add, I'll believe it when I'm actually there staring at Jim Carrey. The movie's release will coincide with the first film's 20th anniversary. Universal have picked up the rights after Warner Brothers bowed out of the process. The film is titled Dumb and Dumber 2 with a grammatically incorrect 1-0 instead of 2. When reached for a comment, humans under 25 did not understand the difference. A live-action version of The Jungle Book is in the works. Disney has hired writer Justin Marks to take a swipe at the script before 42 Disney executives take it home for the weekend to, you know, just jot down a few notes on it. For those not familiar with The Jungle Book, it's a story of a small Amazon River tourist boat that travels around in endless circles while a bitter boat captain fires blanks at animatronic hippos. Pretty sure Johnny Depp will star in it. Guillermo del Toro, which translated into English means eats like a bull, is set to direct the FX pilot for The Strain, based on his graphic novel vampire trilogy he co-wrote with Chuck Hogan. And one of the castings announced this week is friend of Schmoville, Sean Astin.
Yeah, all right.
The former Samwise Gamgee will play a key member of a team called upon to investigate why vampires are still popular.
Sweet.
Or maybe it's
want to see that one.
Maybe it's to investigate a mysterious viral outbreak of an evil strain of vampirism. Sam Mendes has finally been officially confirmed to be on board as a director of the yet-to-be-titled Bond 24 film. This came after, forget it. How many times do we have to report the same story?
Yeah,
here's the
right.
Title for Bond 24. Dude, Mendes, make up your mind. And P.S., it's 2013. Quit doing theater. Finally, Vin Diesel confirmed this week that he did have a super secret meeting with Marvel, but there have been no leaks, hints, or clues as to what the meeting might have been about. Speculation is ranging from him appearing as Vision in the next Avengers, or as Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy, or maybe even the voice of Thanos. Hard to say because there aren't many short superheroes who walk around pretending to be way more important than they actually are. I'm Ken Napsok, and those were your Schmozno headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. For more news, be sure to head to Schmozno.com for reviews, news, and clues.
Hey, Napsok. Stellar news reporting, even more stellar joke writing.
I love it. Now, let's get right into it with this Vin Diesel thing because look, I saw the picture that he tweeted out from Marvel, and my opinion that he's going to be in the next Avengers movie because he took a picture of the little subliminal thing in the background. Right. There's a picture of the Avengers, like the old school Avengers picture that he took.
Oh, so people are studying this picture like it's a Zapruder film? Like they're just looking at every possible angle?
Yeah, but he's very savvy with Facebook, and when he tweets something and Facebook said he does it for a reason, and he probably said, "No, make sure you set up the shot right there. When you set up the shot, make sure the Avengers in the back."
He also, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but the quote summarizing the meeting was that the people there have great vision in what they want to do.
Very okay, nice. Man. I just don't think it would be as much of a news shaker if it was Guardians of the Galaxy, because again, as far as I'm concerned, that's still the raccoon movie until somebody
can. Isn't that the owl movie?
Yeah, no, that there's owls and there's raccoons, but then there's the Avengers, and so if you tweet you signing a deal with Marvel, it probably involves the Avengers, maybe, but that, which means it could be the voice of Thanos,
right? Or it could be, Look, again, we don't know what's in store for the Guardians of the Galaxy. They might have so much confidence in the Guardians of the Galaxy that it's already going to transfer into the Avengers. So it might be a character that appears in both films. What?
You say that like you don't believe it yourself.
No, I believe it. I mean, I think it's a possibility. That's the thing, is we don't know what... They don't know either what, because it's not a proven franchise yet. It's coming out in August.
Yeah.
When it comes out, I'm excited for it. Let's check it out. Let's see what's going on. All right, let's move on now. What's the other thing about Sam Mendes?
Finally. Okay. I mean, this has been confirmed like five
times.
It's
like Dwight Howard, right?
It really is. It's like Brett Favre trying to end to play golf or whatever he did. I mean, I'm glad he's on board.
Ball sports.
Skyfall, I love Skyfall, so I'm glad to see he's sticking around. But he did put this all aside for theater, which is I'm grumpy tonight, so don't get me on my theater.
You are grumpy tonight.
I want a little more action. That's my only complaint about Skyfall, is that I want a little more. I want one more like kick-ass scene in there, and maybe I'm just coming off a high from Pacific Rim where I did nothing but watch two giant beings hit each other for 2.5 hours. Right. But I want like one more action scene. I get that Skyfall was kind of like rebooting the Bond mystique a little bit. Right. So, Sammy, if you're out there listening, love you. Love your ex-wife even more.
Sam Mendes did a great job. A lot of people thought Skyfall was one of the best Bonds of all time.
It was great. It was great.
It was really entertaining. I watched it again recently. It's a great film. Glad he's coming back. It's hard. Look, it's always hard when you take a new director, and especially when it's Daniel Craig, and you have this Bond already, and it's like, I just deal with this director, and I got to deal with another one. They're familiar. You might get another one. That's great. So that's good news.
Smart move. MGM had just dug themselves out of that hole, too. So
now, Mark, I know that Dumb and Dumber is one of your favorite movies of all time.
It is.
The comedy. So how are you feeling about the sequel? Is it a little too late? What's the deal?
Dumb and Dumber is in the top five comedies of all time, in my opinion. Behind Animal House, Mighty Python, The Holy Grail, but nonetheless, right up there. And Dumb and Dumber, I love that it's named Dumb and Dumber 2. That is hysterical. And like anything that I might get really excited for, I can't wait to see the trailer. I think the trailer is going to tell me a lot about this. The Anchorman 2 trailer, the teaser kind of let me down a little bit. Didn't make me laugh.
Yeah, it was super lame, right?
Yeah, it was just them. Yeah. But they just thought it was like couples.
Funny enough, don't worry about it.
Let me ask you about that, though. Don't you think, though, that sometimes the trailers show you too much, and that aren't you glad they didn't give you a lot of bits?
I think that comedy movies will show you too much when they're not confident in their product. Like the Ace Ventura trailer didn't make me laugh at all when I was a kid either, and that ended up being one of the funniest movies ever made. So I think that if comedies show you some of their hand, then you can still be a great comedy and be surprised.
See, I'm on the other side of that, because I think that Anchorman already, it became it did okay in the theater, but then it became a cult classic. People love it. I think that you, at this point, you say Will Ferrell, you say Steve Carell, Anchorman 2 is coming out, you show them, hey, there's Paul Rudd with that mustache, and people are going to see it. I don't think you give away the bits.
Okay, but Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. These guys are 20 years removed, and Jeff Daniels has become such a renowned actor.
Yeah, and Jim Carrey's a crazy person.
True. And Jim Carrey is kind of this loose cannon nutcase. Jim Carrey is an extremely talented actor as well. He hasn't been funny in a little while in movies, and that scares me. He was great. Remember, I Love You, Philip Morris? I thought he was fantastic in that. Oscar-worthy performance.
Yes. But that's what's ironic about the whole Kick-Ass too, because when you see that trailer, it looks like one of his funniest performances ever, and then he shits a big dynamite crap on it, and it's like...
A dynamite crap.
Oh,
that's what you get when you eat sushi?
Not yet. I'll tell you by the end of the show. But, you know, that's... so, again, I'm excited to see what happens with that performance, and if it could lead into... If Kick-Ass 2 does well, and he apologizes for that nonsense...
He won't.
I know.
He doesn't have to.
I don't think he needs to apologize.
But in a way, he brought more press to it anyway.
Absolutely.
That's what I said originally.
That's what I said.
That whole story can be quelled by 1 3-minute sit down on a couch with Letterman, and then it's done. And we can move on with our lives.
True.
All right. So speaking of moving on with our lives, let's get the other story. Ken, there was another one in the beginning there that you had mentioned.
We got some Guardians of the Galaxy casting news that does not involve Vin Diesel, but it does involve the Benicio del Toro thing's awesome. He's great. Lee Pace. Okay.
Yeah, and these are all ones that were rumored and talked about.
And again, let's also say nothing's 100% until we actually get something official at Comic-Con next week, which we'll be there for, waiting with bated breath.
Can't wait to talk about all of that stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. You guys, we're all going to have fun covering Comic-Con. Then you guys are going to have to let me go at about 6 p.m. on Saturday. So I'm going to be trying to find out where Metallica is playing that secret gig. Metallica's playing a secret gig somewhere in downtown San Diego.
We're going to talk about everybody knows about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all that stuff that's going on with the Comic-Con, because again, Ken, Mark Ellis. Mark Riley, as of right now, is going to be going. Mark Riley, the editor-in-chief of our website, who is a worker, one of the hardest workers that we know.
He was arrested for picking up a transvestite hooker last
night. He's actually sick.
Oh! Yeah,
same thing.
Yeah. He wasn't transvestite. Yeah.
I'm looking at the wrong man. That was Josh the intern's profile. I apologize.
He's just a little under the weather, so he's not here today. We don't know if he's going to be going to Comic-Con yet. So, Schmoville, do me a favor here. For Riley, at Riley, R-E-I-L-L-Y, around, tweet him. And let him know you're thinking about him. Say, what's up, Riley? I hope you're feeling good. What?
I love what you're doing right
what?
Now. What? You want Schmoville to tweet Riley to make him feel better, and then also be like, hey, you're still going to Comic-Con.
No. I don't want to break his balls. If he can't make it, he can't make it. Yeah. I don't want him to over. You, I don't care if you overexhaust yourself, because that's what you do.
That's what I do. I come in frazzled.
Kenny, I like it when you're happy, but my God, did you hear yourself read the news today? Yeah. You crushed it. Yeah. I want Angry Kenny all the time.
Angry Kenny's a.
Why are you so pissed off? Let's talk about
that.
Is that it? You knew you were coming in?
You've been on his podcast a lot.
I've been on this podcast.
Is that jealous?
I've been on his podcast the same amount of you.
By the way,
so do you want to get at him?
Can I announce the new podcast coming up soon?
Yeah,
it's called Her Again?
It's called Ken and Megan Get Drunk.
You're lying.
It's just
is the third one?
That's coming out.
Absolutely.
That actually would be fun to watch. Fun to listen to. Your podcasts were funny.
Absolutely.
What we've learned is that Ken's obsessed with Megan. All right, let's
for good reason.
All right, I understand. I get it. All right,
you're so jealous. I am jealous.
It's true. Well, I can't because the computer.
The mother of dragons, and you're like her Jorah.
Right? I'm like her Jorah. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Guys, it's a Schmozno podcast.
Oh,
it's all right. It's Ken Nasok, Megan Finley, Mark Ellis, myself, Christian Harloff, talking about the movie news in just a little bit here. And around the 8:20 or so area, we're going to be debuting our newest member on the podcast, the Winkleman Can.
He's going to tell us why he's the newest member on the podcast because I like The Conjuring. I'm just in the dark and I hear some noises and I'm getting freaked out.
Yeah, I understand. So, again, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about too that we were off last week, so we didn't get to talk about this. I really want to give a round of applause to our wild man, Josh McCouga. Because we sent McCouga.
You know that guy who's tweeting, texting, not paying attention to the podcast right now?
Yeah, he hears his name and that's it. He turns into Ross from Friends.
The one whose fans tweet bomb me, he needs more than 10 minutes on the show.
We're giving him the 5 right now. We sent him and JTI to the Saturn Awards, and McCouga interviewed Colin Trevorrow, who's directing the new Transformers, the new Jurassic Park movie. And the interview was great. He got him to talk about it a little bit, talked about what they're going to be doing, kind of honoring it, and the thing went viral. I mean, everybody talked about this interview. Everybody talked about it. It was on IGN. It was on Screen Rant. I mean, it was all overseas, and you really got the website a lot of notice. And so we thank you for that. You did a great job.
It was. I mean, we both. It was a tag team effort. It was sick. Yeah,
that's a scary.
But the funny thing was is that you know we were at the end of the line and we got a lot of celebrities that we wanted to talk with. I totally botched it with Mike from Breaking Bad. I was so pissed off.
He's a scary looking dude. Yeah, like that's forgivable.
He was wearing a hat with a feather in it. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's
so.
At a LARPing convention.
So Colin Trevorrow is walking by and he's not talking to anybody. And I got his eye contact. And
right.
I was like, yo, come over here.
I love that.
And we didn't really know who he was at first. Yeah.
Mind you, this is also how McCouga picks up on waitresses at B-dubs.
Yeah. Make eye contact, interview them. Right. So yeah, but it worked out well.
And he was familiar with the show.
Yeah, he knew
the
show.
In the interview, he was like, you know, I've heard it. I've seen it. And So it was cool to.
You gotta get him on.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, hopefully.
No, you gotta get him on. You're the guy talking to him.
Yeah, I fucking
him. You're the guy passing out on his couch.
We'll get some contacts. We'll figure out, and hopefully we can get. We'll tweet him. We'll try to get him on the show because that would be good to get him on the show.
Yeah, well done, boys, at the Saturn Awards. A lot of big stars there. And the interview with Joss Whedon you guys did was. Oh no, wait, that didn't happen. But no, you were great. You're great. Hey,
yeah, it was good.
Who's my guy?
And that's the thing is that I'm hoping. What I hope we can do is. Working on. I would love to try to get Makuga at Comic-Con for like a round of interviews on like a Saturday or something, because Marvel has their thing going on. So if you have a
free badge,
mail it to Josh Makuga at wildman. Don't invite me to your house when your husband or wife.
Here he goes. Close it strong.
All right. Anyway,
I don't think that's
Johnny
a real
Ice. Do you have that music front? Because we're talking about our new member. And you have to have this music when this guy calls in, because there's a lot of different tones on this show. The Wild Man gets the Ozzy Osbourne, and Finstock gets the Darth Vader theme. This guy here, the Winkle Man can. Adam Winkle.
All right.
And there's a reason for that everything's going to be all right, because he's a smooth cat, man. I've known this guy for a long time.
I know what this is.
What is
he's
this?
The official weed dealer of Shmoe.
No.
All right.
He's going. There's something. He's very tapped in. Very tapped into the business. Knows the industry well. And he wanted to call in and talk to us. He said, "I want to be part of the show." And I said, "Of course. I've known you for a long time, but I don't know exactly what you want to do."
We're both good friends.
So, without any further ado, I want to welcome to the show the Winkleman can, Adam Winkleman. Adam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Adam Winkleman, what's up, dude? So, how you doing, man? What's going on?
My friends Christian, Mark, Kenny, you look good, man. I got you guys on the Toad Hop Network right now, and I gotta say, buddy, you look great. Megan, I don't know you, but you look good too.
Thank you. You look great too, Adam.
Just smoothies.
Yeah.
So Winkleman, what's the deal? What you're calling in? You're talking about the show? We talked briefly. We're bringing you on. Let Schmoville know, what's your role? What are you going to be doing for the Schmoes Know Movies podcast?
Well, you know, you guys have been crushing it lately. I'm so proud to see what you guys accomplished over the last few years. I remember when you guys were shooting these reviews in my bathroom back in the Blackburn days. And
the Watchmen review.
That was the beginning of it all. And now you guys have achieved I think you told me like 300,000 subscribers and 13 million hits. You guys are taking the next level. You know, I want to help you guys take it even further.
Oh,
I think the Tweet the Celebrity shit you guys have been doing is fantastic, but I think it's time to go even further, and I'd like to see if I can help you guys out.
No, I like that.
Is it
like
Facebook a celebrity?
Yeah, is Facebook a celebrity? So how do you suggest, so you're talking about guests then, how do you suggest helping us out then, and you're talking about like booking bigger guests, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then one of the things I had emailed Adam, and you're not fired. Here's what Winkleman's going to do on the show, so Schmoville knows exactly what's going on here. I emailed Adam Winkleman three guests that we would love to have on the show, and so what Winkleman will be doing every week is we will be giving him three guests that we want on the show.
I get it.
Schmoville will tweet him at the Winkleman Can on Twitter, and he will. Take suggestions from Schmoville and take the three that we want, and every week we'll call these people's publicists and agents and try to get them on. And we already did three names.
Oh, I love it. So it's like he's our angels and we're Charlie, and we give him the missions to go out on.
Yeah.
And then will he accomplish all of them?
That's the thing.
I hope to God he does. And if he doesn't, he gets punished somehow.
Well, the question is, how good is the Winkleman? And
the
Winkleman can. And that's the point of the thing. So,
I like cans.
Now, Schmoville.
Like show, Megan.
So Schmoville, make sure again, you guys now, let's not get crazy. Leonardo DiCaprio, probably not realistic. Here are the names that we gave Winkleman, and Winkleman has updates on all three of these names.
Okay.
We gave him Shailene Woodley.
Yeah.
We gave him Colin Trevorrow. And we gave we gave four names. Jason Momoa and Lily Collins. Four. Okay. So,
as a flex.
Yeah, so Winkleman has updates on all four of these names. I don't know any of the updates. I have no idea what's happened. We may have gotten none of them. I don't know.
We've been a soundproof booth all week, so let's get the updates, Adam. What is the latest on these names that we gave you?
Talk to me about Jason.
All right, let's see if I can live up to my billing. First and foremost, let's start with Shailene Woodley. Her agent is a longtime friend of mine, so I have to call in. And it feels interesting. She's a little busy. She just finished a little sci-fi film called Divergent.
Yeah, right.
And then she's going to be going over to Pittsburgh and shooting a film called The Fault of Our Stars, written by the 500 Days of Summer duo, Neustadter and Weber.
Okay.
So she's not around within the time frame that I know you guys are looking at, but the agent's a friend and a fan of the show. So
possible.
That's a step in the – it's a possible. It's a
okay.
Possible.
So down the road when she turns 21 and I can legally offer her a beer.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that.
Right. Is there an age limit to your show? Are we going to be bringing guests in who are under 21? Because I feel like they're not going to be able to participate.
She's 21. She's 21.
Funnel them in here, Winkleman.
I'm
a great prognosticator. You can get a 14-year-old in here, yeah, and we'll groom them for success.
That's all right. So we have. Okay. So Shailene Woodley is a possibility, and it looks like we. So we have an in there. It's just it's a matter of whether or not she's available and when we can get her. Correct.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Who is it? So Lily Collins.
Yeah, what do we got on Lily Collins?
She's doing a bunch of press right now for Mortal Instruments.
Okay.
I've spoken to her publicist. I've also spoken to the publicists at Sony who are putting that film out. More Gets Some Magic. I don't have an update on that one of any sort of.
But we're working on it.
Real information there, but we're working on it.
You don't have to give him reassurance. Maybe he's not.
He said he is. All right. Okay. So we got. Jason.
Coaching. I'm working on it.
All right.
I've had 3 days to make some magic, Mark. Give me a break, brother.
You're doing great, buddy.
All right. So Jason Momoa.
Same situation.
Okay.
Working with his manager, working with his publicist, trying to figure out a schedule. He's got that movie. I'm totally blanking on the name. It's a biker movie that he directed and is starring with his wife and
Wild Hogs too.
The Mark Ellis story.
Okay.
What's that?
Kenny said
Wild Hogs 2, the Mark Ellis story.
Yeah.
Yes, Wild Hogs 2, the Mark. Wasn't there already Wild Hogs 2? I think it's Wild Hogs 3 at this point, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and then.
Keep up with Wild Hogs knowledge.
Last and final name.
I believe I am earning my keep right now.
Oh, what'd you get?
Colin Trevorrow.
Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Colin Trevorrow that I want to give a shout out to the Wild Man, Josh, for planting the seed because. I reached out to his manager and actually heard back directly from Colin.
Wow. Colin called you or emailed you?
Colin Trevorrow sent me an email.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay. So what did Colin say?
And Colin said he is definitely a fan of the show.
Yes.
He even put in the email. He said, evidence of this email, I will come on your show.
Nice.
The caveat is he wants to wait till it gets a little bit closer to Jurassic Park 4, is a little bit more real, a little bit closer to the release.
You tell Trevorrow he gets next week or he's out.
No.
I'm sorry.
Keep the inside voice in.
Okay, sorry.
I tried to pitch him on Flight of the Navigator that he and Donnelly are doing to see if we get any info.
Is that true?
On
they're doing Flight of the Navigator?
Was going to be the voice of Max again.
What? Wow, look at you. Wow,
oh my
I didn't know that.
That's... I haven't validated that. It was a question I threw out to him. I don't have an answer.
Listen, my inner child just shot his first load and wonders what happened.
Got it. Okay. So, all right. So then that's it. And then I know that we had one of the names that we put in for next week was Michael B. Jordan, who is in the new movie Fruitvale Station. Now you haven't started on that yet, correct?
Yeah, I've got some feelers going. It looks like his publicist is the same as Lily Collins.
Okay.
So I'm going to keep working that angle and, keep moving forward.
Keep working. Okay, so here's what we're going to do then. We're going to throw out two more names just to put on your list whenever so you can work on, so we can maybe – if we have any updates on the ones for today, but so you can work on next week. Mark Ellis?
Yeah, the real name is Michael Jordan, just the basketball player. I figure while he's on the MJs, why not?
Well, yeah, but who would you know? We're like somebody else. So who else would you like Winkleman to try for next week? And we're going to get – because Josh McCuga also was the one who was responsible for Trevor, we're going to let him pick one as well.
Okay, the one I'm going to stick in the Michael B. Jordan vein because he was the star of the film Fruitvale Station. I would like to get the young director of that masterpiece on, Ryan Coogler.
Ryan Coogler. Okay.
Ryan Coogler.
Okay, I like it. Okay. All right. So Ryan Coogler. So Josh,
are you writing this down, Adam?
Josh McCuga.
I'm having my quote unquote assistant write it down.
I love it.
He's
okay, Josh McCuga.
Man. I'm gonna reach for the stars here. I want a lady. How about Anna Kendrick?
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah,
is that you think that's too high, Adam, or you think it's possible?
I think anything's possible.
All right.
The Winkleman can.
That's why we have him on the show.
The Winkleman can.
All right. So finally, the last people to be able to tell Winkleman who to suggest, that would be Schmoville. So, not you, Kenny. So
Dan Loria, yeah, the dad from Wonder Years.
All right, Schmoville. So,
I could get a Dan Loria. I could get a Dan
so,
Loria.
Tweet in at TheWinkleman can. The Winkleman can. Tweet him, follow him right now, and tell him who should he try to get for next week. He will pick someone, and then next week, Adam will call into the show and let Josh McCouga and Josh the intern and Megan, are you coming back? And Megan Finley next week, who will be hosting the show. He will be let them know what the updates are. Adam, welcome to the show. Very good to have you, man. And we look forward to working with you.
It's been a pleasure, my friends. Thank you for having me. And I'll keep up the good work. You do the same.
Later on.
See you soon, sir.
The Winkleman can.
Yeah, that's a smooth cat right there, man.
Take care of that glaucoma, Adam.
That's a cool segment. Very happy to have him on the show. I think he's going to get somebody, and I think he's going to get somebody. All right, here's something for everybody before we go to break.
Oh, you want to take bets on who he gets?
How long before he nabs a guest? Over, under a month?
I'd say it should be the end of August. Before August is out, does he get somebody?
So
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say, what do you mean yes?
I think we got Coogler.
So you're going to say under the end of the month.
I'm also going to say under.
JTI, he's going to go under. Everyone's got faith in the Winkleman. I want to know what Schmoville thinks.
I'm going to go over because August is booked. All right, thank you.
if we get a bigger guest, people are getting bumped. Yeah. Megan, over under.
It will bump the hell out of me. What? Whoa, definitely.
I'm going to start bumping the hell out of you.
Somebody's getting bumped the hell out of me. All right. Johnny Ice, over under.
Rail moon.
Johnny Ice, over. Johnny's going under. Wow, everybody's got faith in the Winkleman can.
He's really feisty. Yeah.
He's excited. All right, guys. So, again, we'll be back in the second half with the Hayes brothers who wrote The Conjuring. Cannot wait to talk to these dudes. Some of the coolest cats you're ever going to meet. And we'll be back in just a second. Schmoes No Podcast. Megan Finley, Christian Arloff, Mark Ellis, the whole crew. Bye.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you?
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall.
Just to find the thing you wanted.
Isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home with style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle. Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney.
Microphone.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff.
System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
Hey, Toad Hop listeners, this is Justine Marino.
Mark Ellis.
And Josh McCouga.
From Three's Too Much.
We're on live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. PST.
It's an hour of hardcore fluff.
It's yankin'.
And if you miss Three's Too Much, go back and watch it on the ToadHopNetwork.com or download the audio from iTunes.
And while you're there, why don't you go ahead and subscribe, leave a comment, and rate the show. What's the name of that show, Justine?
Three's Too Much. Someone get me a donut.
I got it this time.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out thenewsportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out thenewsportsguru.com.
With Gamefly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start. No late fees. Gamefly.com. Games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
That's some creepy shit. Some creepy shit.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
You know what this is?
I don't know what it is, but I know that...
Well, I don't know what this is. Take a wild guess.
Is it from The Conjuring?
Very good.
Yes! Nailed it.
It's from The Conjuring, and there's a
reason.
Why
would you play that music right now?
Because I want to scare the shit out of everybody.
And?
And because we have the writers of the movie in studio on the Schmoes Know podcast, good friends of mine, the Hayes brothers, Carrie and Chad.
Yeah.
Guys, what is going on, guys?
Super happy to be here.
Oh, guys, so... so happy to have you guys here, and we were just telling the Schmoville that we were able to have dinner right beforehand. We told a couple stories, and the stories are
you
ready.
You guys broke bread. I met you after you guys were done eating, and the checks were being paid. So
now, before again, so here's what we're gonna do with the guys, because they have some really great stories that they told, and we're gonna get to a lot of their cool stories. But I want to tell Schmoville how I met the guys and how I know the guys.
Yeah,
because So,
are you gonna tell the truth?
Yeah, I'm going to tell the truth. So, I worked at Joe Silver's company for a long time. And one of my first days, I worked for Eric Olson, who was an executive there at the time. And he was like, okay, I'm meeting with these writers, and I want you to go get the writers and bring them in. I was like, okay, great. So I walk in, and I see these two dudes, and I'm like, holy shit. Those are the twins from Rad. And Rad was one of my favorite movies.
I forgot about that.
It was one of my favorite movies as a kid. And I look, and I can't remember. Whoa. And I can't remember which one of you guys it was. What's that?
Oh, man.
Is that Send Me an Angel? What's going on over here? So when this movie, when I was a kid, it
changed your life.
Changed my
life.
I loved it. I was a BMX kid, so I went to you guys. I said, you guys were in one of my favorite movies of all time. And I can't remember which one of you guys said it, but you said, what movie? And I said, Rad. And you said, shut the fuck up. and you said, no one saw Rad. And I said, I'm from the East Coast. And they go, okay, you saw Rad. And it was, again, and you guys turned out, besides being from that movie, which I loved, you guys were some of the coolest people I met there, not only because you were cool dudes, but because you knew so much about the business and what was going on, and you've been writing for so long. And that's what I wanted Schmoville to learn about you guys. How long you've been writing? How did you go from acting into writing?
We wrote before we even acted. We started writing. We wrote a script when we were 16.
16?
Yeah.
Just in high school and just dug the process.
Write a screenplay and did it, and didn't know that's what we wanted to do for the rest of our lives, but I think it was in our blood.
You were done with the BMX racing permanently. So, you decided to pick up a pen.
Once you do Rad, you can't turn back.
So we figured with Rad, we
just
stop that shit.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But what happened is we both were actors and writers and doing it both at the same time, but it sort of pinnacled at a point where we both started working as actors and getting hired as writers. So we had to make a conscious decision, or we chose to, because we both had young kids at the time and families. Wow, which one are you more in control with? And it obviously was the writing. So you're not waiting for the phone. It's like you can actually be productive at home. Yeah, so we made that choice.
And you guys have always gotten along pretty well, or?
Well, right now.
Right now.
You're having a good day.
That's a good question, because Chris and I, we both grew up with brothers, and I have a sister, too. And any creative collaboration that you have, I would try to have a game show for my family, and it ended up in fistfights. So did you guys have something in your past when you're like, hey, we can't make sure we have that brand of wine when we're writing again, because it's going to get ugly?
And not only have, though, but even now, it's like, no, I want the ghost to do this.
Yeah. It's not a ghost. It's a demon.
Right.
You guys sit in our room when we're
No, they're in our head.
Yeah, that's true. So you guys have always kind of
Does it always work pretty well, or is there a lot of tension, and does the tension help the creative process?
You know what? I think we have an unusual situation, because we've just always been friends and got along and thought creatively very similar. So that process has never been difficult for us. And we do know other writing teams that are like, I want to kill my partner, I want to do this.
Right.
But if we just say, I freaking hate that, we just move on.
You move
There's
on.
There's just no arguing.
Right.
Guys are more John and Paul in 63 to 66 than there's no Yoko in the picture yet. That's good.
Marital advice as well.
The other thing that I had learned about the guys when I started working at Silver is that both my boss, Ben David Gambino, also worked with the guys.
He's a
great guy.
Fan of Rad as well.
And what they all said at Silver was like, the Hayes brothers are the pitch masters.
Oh, really?
Pitch masters.
You get these guys in a room, and you're buying the script whether you like it or not.
You get it in stereo.
But that's the thing, though, is because we have a lot of aspiring writers out there, too, and pitching is crucial. So what makes a good pitch? Don't worry, guys. We're gonna get into The Conjuring, but I really want to. I want to talk
before
about
we talk about The Conjuring. How did you sell the picture?
Well, we did. We sold The Conjuring on a pitch. Actually. Right. That's how it went down. We create the pitch to be incredibly visual. So if I'm pitching it to you, and I know you're the buyer, Carrie and I are very sing-songy in how we pitch it out, but we try to pitch it on a visual level so you actually feel like you're experiencing the movie. And you'll pull out particular scenes. You'll do the opening. And when we sold House of Wax, which was also on a pitch, we brought in music. This is how we see the movie opening.
Big pair of scissors.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, we see a pair of hands.
Paid off. For
sure.
That.
Performers, yeah.
Very dramatic in our pitches.
No, but everything from, close up on a pair of hands going over a waxed body. It's a female. The music's playing in the background. You just set the tone.
Right.
And then you go through the characters and the notion of what you want the story to be. But we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
It's a super... it's a process that we really embrace. And what happens is we work it out in such freaking detail that...
really practice it. It's not just like, oh, we'll go in, we'll wing it, we're good, we're funny.
No, we have it all worked out.
We call friends and say, can you hear a pitch? And they go,
again?
Am I first or am I last?
Here's how I pitch The Conjuring is I just bring Lorraine... Warren into the room with the little box, and I say she's going to release an evil spirit in here unless you guys make our movie, and then you got go picture.
Threats always work.
Yeah. So let's talk about The Conjuring pitch then.
We saw the film this morning, and my God, it was everything. I had high expectations after seeing the footage that we did at WonderCon, and it met those. And I'm a horror movie buff. Christian's he's just my apprentice when it comes to watching horror films. And we both were little girls in that movie theater.
I've told you guys this, and I've said it to Schmobile 100 times. My thing with horror films is a lot of the times I feel horror films can be lazy. I feel horror films can be of that genre because they cost so cheap to make sometimes that the people say, oh, well, the studio executives say, let's just fine. That's a premise that they'll buy, spend the money on it. Great. If it doesn't make it in the theater, they'll make it on DVD. Great. Mm-hmm. This didn't feel like that to me. This felt thought out. The characters were there. It wasn't that cliche shit that you get all the time. I felt like there was no jump scares just to have jump scares. Mm-hmm. It had James Wan.
Yeah.
Was a fantastic director, did everything visually. I thought the writing that you guys did, you set up the characters and tone really well. Sound, music, everything fit well, and I think that's why I enjoy the film so much.
Yeah, and the movie's really, and I said this in our review that's coming out in a couple days, is that the movie is cocky, and that's what I love about it, because the movie knows it can scare the shit out of you. And right from that opening salvo, as soon as the Warner Brothers logo appears, it's like that opening in Welcome to the Jungle. Yeah. It's like with Slash on stage, he knows he's going to get into it, man.
Right.
And that's what I loved about the movie. And my question to you guys is, when you're writing something like that, before James Wan has seen it or anybody else, how do you know, how in detail can you get? Do you just write like, oh, and then they hear a bump in the night?
No, you have to write it to attract a James Wan.
Yeah.
You have to, and Chad said what we do in our pitch, and we also do it in the writing, is when you finish reading a scene or a script, it has to resonate that you just watched a movie. And we get this a lot where people go, oh, man, that script scared the crap out of me. And we go, great, job well done, Because if we don't do our job, then how is somebody going to make it better? I don't want to fix anything.
Yeah.
I just want them to make it better.
Well, I guess that's the question then. So how long did it take you to write the first draft of the script?
Well, it was pretty fast because when we go pitch a story, we have the whole story worked out.
So you already knew you want, as soon as they buy it, you can write the script.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you guys knew the story because it's based on a true story about the Warrens, and they went around. They were like the most celebrated Ghostbusters that were real. And it was in from the 60s and the 70s, and then you guys saw this case, and you said, that's what we want to write our story about.
It was awesome. It was Ed and Lorraine Warren were the preeminent supernatural investigators of the 70s, and we thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
There's no cell phones. There was none of this whole high-tech stuff that you see on all the reality shows today.
Right.
And that really intrigued us. And so when the story came across our desk, which was about the parents and what happened and all that scary crap that...
How did it come across your desk?
Through Peter Safran. Peter Safran sent it to us, our producer.
Okay.
And Peter...
So take a look.
Ken, he gave it to our management, Ken Freeman, who's at Circle.
Okay.
And Ken said, hey, give it to the
take
Hayes
a look.
Brothers.
Take
but
a
we
look. Did, and we read it, and it was super cool, except there was a little paragraph in there about the Warrens coming in to investigate it. And Carrie and I were like, Ed and Lorraine Warren? Because in our... just being in the world we are, you come across their name a lot because
they've
covered thousands of investigations.
Amityville,
Haunting in Connecticut, all these other stuff. And we just went, whoa, and that was the jackpot for us. Like, let's tell this through the Warrens' POV, because what jacks up the supernatural investigators? I mean, they step into Act Three of people's lives.
When do you call 911? It's like when the shit hits the fan, basically.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's when we're going to call.
Nobody's like, it could be a mouse, it could be a spirit. Like, you had to have some real stuff go down.
Right. This family had. Oh my gosh, so much!
So when you guys are investigating that, when you're researching it, and you're looking. Are you every time you say, "Holy shit, this family went through that"? Didn't you start talking to them, and they're like, "So now what?" But when you're interviewing these, because again, everyone's skeptical right away when you hear about these stories. Is there a time when you're talking to these families and you're even a little skeptical?
Well, when you meet them face on face and you look at them in the eye, you know something has happened to them. And when it's consistent through an entire family, and then having spent the amount of time that we did with Lorraine and interviewing her and getting firsthand experiences from her, and I think I mentioned this to you earlier, when she lives in Connecticut, we live in L.A., and we spent a lot of time on the phone. And when we were on the phone with her, there'd be all this, suddenly it would get all like crackly over the phone.
Yes.
And early on, no,
you're
I'm
like
not.
Like a crappy cell reception, but you're not on cell phone.
I'm not lying to you.
So there's a possibility that this thing still is latched onto her?
No, it's the supernatural world. Lorraine will tell you that it's interference because they do not want this shared. It as a collective, it doesn't want it shared. And she would demand that Karen and I, she goes, remember what we're talking about? They don't want it in the movie. Remember? And then she would start praying on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah, I swear.
Are you going through a tunnel? No, that's Casper. He's messing with some stuff.
No, and then it would clear up. It happened all.
Did it happen when you were actually on set? Because you hear about all these problems that were on The Exorcist when they were making, and they're like, oh, is Satan not on board with this film we're making?
Did you ask permission?
Yeah, did that happen in the Conjuring at all?
Oh, there was a lot of there were some bumps
in the night. Yeah, but not like super tragedy, you know, like the aftermath of Exorcist and Poltergeist and all that. But there was some
creepy shit.
I mean,
son had an incident. My son worked on the film and he worked in the camera department. And there's a scene which you guys know, which is their museum. Every case, if they feel like something needs to be taken off the street, guns off the street, they take it back to a lock and key place that they have on their property that actually gets blessed every day by a priest.
Wow.
And they have mass performed on the property every day by a priest to protect these things.
They need it. They need like the Vatican to fly in every day.
I'm telling you, and so we recreated that, and it was full of all these artifacts, and my son was sent in by Scott, the head camera guy, and to grab a cable or do something. He's the last one in the room. We're done shooting. It's 1 a.m. It's classic. And he goes in there, and he goes to unplug this cable and roll it up. And he heard this spinning noise. And he turns around. There's a top. And you would have seen it in the movie, but you have to pay attention to it. And it started spinning, and it went off the shelf and onto the floor. Now, my son's 19, and he's very little scares him. He came running out, and Scott goes, what the
hell? Who's that woman screaming?
Well, and my son.
That's my son.
He said, you can fire me. I will never go in there again.
Wow. That's funny.
I will never go in there
again. The top stopped spinning, which means Leonardo DiCaprio was not dreaming.
There was something also you guys had told me, too, and that was about when Lorraine came into the house.
Yeah, when she came on the set, it was
which was not the actual house where the events took place. It was built in Wilmington, North Carolina. Shout out to my home state.
Yeah.
Screen Gems there. And Lorraine came on the set, and she's walking through the house, and she passes by this one room, and she said
to James,
"To James, there's something in here that shouldn't be here, basically."
Right.
And James said, "Lorraine, we built this house." From scratch. It's all new lumber.
Like 12 weeks ago.
Yeah. And she goes, but what did you fill it with? And it was all furniture, antiques.
Old school shit.
Things collected from flea markets.
And the irony is...
Dude, you gave me like 3 artifacts from you and your ex-girlfriend's place. And now they're cursing my apartment.
Yeah, I'm not stupid.
But you know what? Just to deviate from that, Chad and I, because of the Conjuring, Chad and I were at a meeting, and we're talking about pitches, and people are like, hey, you got any great genre series or future ideas? And we're after the pitch, this assistant came up and said, can I talk to you guys for a second? We're like, yeah. And we're thinking, okay, he's got a cool idea. Let's talk about it. And he shows us a picture of his dresser in his apartment, and he starts talking about a poltergeist activity in his apartment where the dresser just freaking dropped on the floor, and he woke up, and by the time he turned the lights on, he had a picture, and there's all these socks lined up.
Shut the
from the dresser.
What?
Yeah,
hey.
We're going. Okay.
All right.
That's a good story.
Because in our world,
that?
It's a previous tenant that has a key.
But that's what something. Chad was talking about. The look in their eye.
Yeah.
You know they're not lying.
Right.
This guy was... He moved
like traumatized.
Out. He was so traumatized. He left the dresser.
Well,
he left
he broke his lease. He moved out.
Wow. Which is, that was it. Now, it's funny that...
We got to get Lorraine on the phone.
We
got
to fix
it. I got an old dresser that he gave me. I already had a heavyset woman haunting my place as it is.
Don't worry. All she'll do is my ex-wife, she'll just make you do laundry all the time. Now, you guys, again, you mentioned the poltergeist element that the guy had. The reason I bring that up, too, is because watching this movie, I said to you afterwards, this movie made me feel the way I felt the first time I saw Poltergeist.
Oh, awesome.
Because it really did. I mean, granted, the Poltergeist now, you know, if you've never seen it before, it might seem a little dated to you, but when you watch it the first time, it scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And it's because it had this family, and it was a family story
right.
more than it was just, oh, we're going to scare you, mm-hmm. and that's what this was. And I felt like – I just felt so in the moments here. And so the question is, when you guys are writing this and you joke about the scares and stuff, do you write a scene that you go, I don't really want to go to sleep tonight after that. I just wrote that thing? And how do you write that? Where does it come from to make you, like, you know, get that deep into it?
Got our kids asked the same question. It's like, Dad, are we safe?
Yeah, is it true?
Yeah, are you literally writing stuff into the house?
Joshua Cougar is scared out of his mind right
now. Corner, much as possible.
Yeah.
You know what's strange is I'm just speaking for me, but yeah. just become visually, I can look at it and go, okay, that's a scary scene.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect me that way.
Because your head's in the story.
Right.
And
but that being said, Chad and I went to India to do research on a project that we're going to do,
right.
and we got thrown into the mix of some exorcisms and some stuff.
Wow.
And I slept with the lights on because, wow, this was stuff I wasn't writing. This is stuff I was witnessing, I was part of.
Yeah, that's sleeping with one eye open. But you guys also got to see some cool actual evidence from, because, I mean,
it's based
on a true story.
Yeah.
And so the Warrens have all these case files. And in order to get some stuff approved, they had to get evidence of it, mm-hmm. real photographic visual evidence. Did you guys lay your eyes on any of the real pictures or footage?
Yeah, we a couple of things. We were really we were privy to
Josh. Go out of the room right now.
Josh, this is a great
get out.
We were privy to a timeline that the five daughters had written down. That was everything that they had experienced in the house. And truthfully,
literally a line item.
And I will tell you,
Excel today would be just.
And I'll tell you what you saw was a third.
Can you give us anything? Can you give us anything that they experienced that you're allowed to talk about?
If this is going to happen, he's going to haunt the show.
Earmuffs.
There was time after time, one of the daughters had experiences with some Civil War soldiers that were ghostly and living in the house.
Yeah.
Wow. And the ones that have occupied after someone.
Whatever period that was.
There was strange lights that would come out of the fireplace and target certain individuals that would be guests.
All of the
electric blankets caught fire.
Yeah,
one night on the same night. I mean, it's in voices, and that in the movie you saw it, and I'm like, you know, the smell.
Yeah, that's what they all said. They said
that was very consistent.
They had on
this rotting meat smell.
That rotting meat. Delicious. Yeah, that foul stench is
from Axe this fall.
You know, one of the cool things that we did see and that Lorraine shared with us was the actual in the movie, you see an actual film footage of an exorcism taking place.
Yeah.
With
the archive footage.
We saw that real footage.
The real footage. How accurate from that, from the film?
Oh, 100%. James Wan is super.
What you didn't hear in that is that man was possessed twice in his life.
Yeah.
Two times.
Yeah, by the same. They performed. Not Ed and Lorraine. Three priests have performed, and the footage we saw was of a lockdown camera on that dude. And what you guys don't know, because you haven't seen the movie yet, other than these two, is that this is a dairy farmer. He has a third grade education, and he literally is bleeding blood from his eyes.
This is in the actual footage, too.
Actual footage that we saw. And this is why we were so on board backwards.
Wow.
Right.
Speaking Latin backwards.
And he pulls up his shirt, and that was all true. And upside down crosses were appearing on his stomach. And it was, and this man was in so much pain, I can't even tell you from the footage that we saw.
Wow.
That we looked at each other and went, oh my God, do we really want to get into this?
So let me ask you a question then, too, because I thought about this when I was watching a movie. Do you guys, were you guys beforehand, were you God believing men?
Yes.
Okay. So were you?
Are you God fearing Christians?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, but even more so than watching this too, because
is a movie that could convert people, especially with the Warrens' quotes and what they say. Because again, Ed Warren was such a straightforward kind of guy. He's like, yeah, look, you got a fucking demon in your house, and I've seen some shit, and this is what I've seen, and this is why I believe that stuff. Are you guys more on that train now than ever before, or did this not change that much, move the needle for you guys personally?
Oh, I'd say it moved the needle big time, because you realize when you watch these movies, this is something Lorraine shared with Karen and I, and I believe it, is that the Brad Hamilton character, the cop, is they always brought cops under their investigations because Ed's dad was a cop and he trusted them. But he always found cops that were non-believers because they loved to watch the transformation. They loved to watch them become believers. And a chief of police in one of the investigations had a bunch of his cops with her, and Lorraine and Ed were there, and his entire group of cops were freaking out because there was a poltergeist activity that happened right in front of them, and they had never experienced anything supernatural. And the chief said, you guys, you got to calm down because, wow, the devil exists. And if the devil exists, that means God exists. And if that happens, then that means there is eternal life. So relax, chill out. It's all true. You know, well,
I got a couple of cops on my tail right now.
But that's a crazy thing, too, as far as when you're watching this, because a lot of times people are not going to, I don't know, believe it. Like, if you have, like, this footage that Lorraine has, like, why wasn't it brought out? Like, why do you think mainstream?
Why can't you YouTube
it? Why is it more? Why is it? Well, I think you can. But why isn't?
I believe you can.
Yeah, I think you can.
What?
Yeah. But why isn't more mainstream?
I'm not Josh should go look it up right now.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
I know what you're asking.
Yeah, like, what I'm asking is, why hasn't the mainstream picked up? Like, again, if there's a guy and he's laying there with literally crosses appearing on him, why doesn't everyone know about this the same way I know about some guy getting murdered on, you know, La Cienega or whatever?
I'll tell you why. Ed and Lorraine became famous with Amityville, and then they had a huge fallout because of a guy accused them of making it
hoaxing
up.
Hoaxing.
All that. And Lorraine's first time, she said, what Ed and I do is between God and us, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. So they don't have to prove anything.
Yeah.
They don't have to stand on a box of any sort.
They know.
Like that. Mm-hmm. They do know. And so it's kind of like, it's interesting because you talk about faith and all of that, and Ed and Lorraine in the 70s, I mean, even compared to today, every time you flip in the channel, you're seeing paranormal, there's ghost hunter, celebrity ghost hunter, it just goes on and on, that their only tools they had, their sharpest tool was their faith.
Right.
They didn't charge.
Right. And Lorraine's visions.
And Lorraine. Yeah. And she was, you know, psychic. Right. And Ed was a demonologist. Only one of eight demonologists recognized by the Vatican in the world. The only one non-ordained.
Yeah.
The only one.
And now on TV, you got two plumbers running around looking for orbs. Come on.
Yeah, that's the truth.
No, it was fascinating for me because they didn't depend on gadgetry.
Right.
And to answer your question about why isn't more on here is they have thousands of cases. But what do we know? Haunting in Connecticut, Amityville Horror, Annabelle Doll, maybe just a handful.
Yeah.
And they're very private people. I mean, they're not, you know, they write, they made their money from books.
It was to help. They were doing things to help people out. And again, in the movie, and you guys were also telling me this before, that they said that a lot of these things, like you said, most of the times they found out that they weren't supernatural occurrences.
Exactly. She said that was very important to put in the movie because for Ed and Lorraine, it's most of the time it's nothing. It's explainable.
Pipes.
We bought the house by the graveyard, so every night we're thinking we're being haunted, you know, and things like that. And she said most of the time it doesn't happen, but when it does happen, it's of great concern for them to help people get rid of it.
Right.
And that's what drove them. Basically.
Wow. I mean, it's fascinating, too. And, you know, Mark, what we were also talking about, too, I mean, you guys had definitely – you put together this script and these characters and you did all the research. And then you come across James Wan. Yeah. James Wan gets a hold of this script.
Yeah, because in the wrong hands, this could end up with a leprechaun on the moon.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Well, you can get studio notes. You can get studio notes. Yeah. Like, guys, maybe this happens. And it seems like, because we've all been on that end where it's like, oh, guys, I have a script. This is what I want. Yeah, it would be great, but I think it would be better if it wasn't this.
Yeah.
That's my whole script.
You mean like ghosts? I think ghosts don't talk like that?
right.
No, it was awesome. When we turned in the draft and New Line, the guys there, you know, Dave Newstead or Walter Amada, Richard Brenner, Toby Emmerich, these guys, they were very responsive to the first draft. And that got Carrie and I really excited. And they said, okay, we're going to go out to a filmmaker. And we're like, who? And they go, James Wan. And in our mind, we could not think of a better director. It's like if he was the top of your wish list.
That's your lottery pick.
Yeah,
well, they said, if he says yes, we'll green light the movie.
We'll make the movie.
Oh, wow.
And if he doesn't, we're going to go out and it's going to be a slower process.
So did you pitch him? Or no,
we read the script.
We just read the script.
And then what came down was James hasn't agreed to do the movie just yet, but he wants to have lunch with you. So we're like, okay, here's the working relationship. Okay. How's this going to turn out?
Where do you go for lunch? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. Across from Chin Chin on Sunset. What's that place?
It was great.
Oh, Le Petit. Le Petit Four, something like that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Not big on French.
What we were there for.
I took Latin in college. I still don't speak as well as the guy getting exercise.
Yeah. I don't. But I understood you, Mark.
That's right. You did.
But we did. We sat down and we started lunch, and 4 hours later, we're just still talking about the movie and the scenes, and we've really actually become really good friends.
That's awesome. He's so talented. We got to interview him at WonderCon while we were there because
he was walking by us. We're like, dude, you're the guy.
Yeah.
We had just seen the footage at the panel, and then afterwards, Christian was in line getting a hot dog.
Pretzel.
And I think, who was it? I think Josh, the intern, was like, hey, dude.
No. I was on.
Oh, you found me.
I had just seen the panel. The footage blew me away, and I'm literally getting, and I see him walk by, and I was online. I was like one, and I love my pretzels. Yeah. And I was one before to get it, and I said, you know what? Fuck this. I jumped off.
Pretzel bailed.
I jumped on. I said, James, we're a huge fan of what we just saw. Look, we do a show. We'd love to. And he was so great. So, you guys, if you want to watch, you can just do Schmoes Know.
Watch Christian
James
get
Wong.
Hypoglycemic halfway through. Yeah.
What did they show at WonderCon? What was it?
They showed three scenes. They showed the one scene, and this is what we should definitely talk about, too. I'm glad you asked, because they show the scene.
The game.
Clap.
I have not seen that.
That's scarier than the STD, the clap.
Yeah, I was saying, it's actually scarier than that.
I
want to
talk about the thing, because if you see that, I think it's in the is it in the trailers, too?
Yeah, it's in the trailers.
Yeah. So if you've seen the trailers and you know what we're talking about, basically the family plays this game where they hide and the kids, you know, they go, all right, first clap. And then if you're hiding, they go... like that, and they clap.
Kind of like a Marco Polo.
So the little kid wants to play with the mom, and then she's like, okay, let's play. So she's running around. She goes, and she heads into this room. She's like, okay, second clap, and then we don't think that's the little girl anymore. And you see these creepy arms come out, and they're like, now, how the hell did that scene come about?
Oh, we have to hand that to James.
That was okay.
The truth
that
is.
That was your director elevating.
You know what we're talking about when you read a script, and everyone comes on board, and they elevate.
Yeah,
they elevate it.
Okay.
That was James coming on board, and he goes, guys, I just always wanted to play a hide-and-seek scary game, and I have this notion of like this, and we went, darn.
Just how you pitched it out is how he pitched it out. We go, oh, I'm sold.
Yeah.
You guys are like, that sounds fucking scary.
What the hell am I doing here?
No, it was really great, and working with him, I will tell you, was a lot of those elements of taking the scene as it's written and then just starting to construct – other elements of how to even make it bigger and better and stuff like that. So it just made it exciting for us.
And it was also exciting the fact that you guys focused on the Warrens.
Yeah.
Because you could have just went on the family like a lot of people do. Again, and that was one of the things that we both talked about as well. Normally in these movies, you see right off the bat, they're scared, and then it's like, oh, it might be haunting. It might not be. Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just goes on forever.
So there's a dead chick in the attic. Come on, Estelle.
Who
get over
doesn't
it.
Have at least one of those?
Her face was just upside down. No, it doesn't matter. So, but this, not in this movie. This movie, you get to it, you get to the Warrens, and that's what it's all about. So, again,
the two
guys,
families converging and everything coming together. If I can ask you guys one more question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you write this, and it's a great gig you guys got. You know, you're living the dream right now.
Right.
So you write it, you sell a script, you're making money, providing for your family. Is there with this movie in particular, what do you hope that your work does to audiences? Is it just so that they can't sleep and they piss their pants? Or is there something else that you guys hope it hits?
That's a great
question.
Thank you.
I'm a professional podcaster.
I know. You do good work.
Yeah,
I wrote that for him during Sushi.
You know what? I think any filmmaker, no matter what level, is what's the water cooler talk after the movie.
Yeah.
What do people talk about? You know, people talk about, was it real? Was it not? You know, was it their faith in God that, you know, saved the day? Was she really possessed? You know, it just, it stirs.
Why is the water cooler on by itself?
Well, you know, right. It's very interesting because I did a family and friends screening at New Line, mm-hmm. their little mm-hmm. studio there. And I had a buddy of mine bring his son, and his son is 18 mm-hmm. and just on the fence about believing.
Yeah.
And my buddy wrote me an email next day and said, thank you. Yeah. He goes, you have got my son all the way home. Because he said, Dad, is that real? Was that really real? You know, right. You know, Carrie.
You know these
was
guys.
Was that real? Yeah. And Mikey asked me that. And I said, absolutely, it is. And so that was, it's kind of like what Chad said earlier. Well, if that's real,
right.
then this has to be real. Right. And it just got him kind of questioning.
Right, just looking.
Is that philosophical? If that is true, then this is true. Yeah. Then this must be true.
You know what's crazy is because we've been to a number of screenings now, LA Film Festival, yeah, all yeah. that.
You guys must love watching a fresh audience go into this.
We don't even watch the movie anymore. We just watch people's reaction. Yeah. But what comes out of it, and been happening a lot, is literally people don't leave the theater right away. You yeah. see them just kind of sitting there and talking to each
trying
other.
To figure out. Yeah, I love that.
Just chilling and just trying to kind of get their bearings. Yeah. You know?
How do I tie
and
the sweatshirt cool. around my jeans so nobody can tell I peed? Yeah.
Listen, guys.
Well, you know what? We were at – I'm sorry.
No, no, please. You
we had we were doing a panel a couple of weeks ago at the Four Seasons and
– Oh, for Variety.
For yeah. Variety. And afterwards – we split up. People were asking questions, you know, all that stuff. And I look up, and there's this priest in his collar, four deep, waiting to talk to me. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Am I in trouble?
Yeah. Like, okay. He started yeah. praying.
And he got up to me, and he said, can I shake your hand? And I'm like, well, yeah, absolutely. You know, what's your name? I'm father.
I know what he asked like, you. How's Paris Hilton in person?
After we got through
that,
he said,
she's
he goes,
hot. Yeah.
He goes, I know. No, yeah. He said, he goes, I went to a clergy screening at Warner Brothers, at the same Studio 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, you guys got it right.
Wow.
Thank you. And he was paying attention wow. to because cool. Chad and I wrote, the Latin was pre-Vatican II Latin. Because Ed was raised as an altar boy, and it was during that time period. And he said, the fact you guys paid attention to that, you made it so Catholic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we go, well, our lead character was Catholic.
Yeah.
And we had some help. We mm-hmm. had Diana Pulsuco, who's a
religious studies professor
at UNCW, and she was invaluable. But it was, for me, that was wow. Mm-hmm. You know, that
you hear these guys talking, you're like, this is professional shit going on. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't
like,
know.
When you think about writing a script, some people yeah. think you're just like, oh, okay, in my head, I'm just like, oh, and this guy talks Latin. No, here's Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's
like,
a Latin no. word. Let's
yeah,
read it backwards.
Right, but
all
then
right.
you hear this, you're just like, wow, this is what I'm saying. This is
I have to
so
cancel
to
all gigs this weekend, and I got to go to church. Yeah,
I
got
to rethink my entire yeah. life.
Yeah. And you've officially scared the shit out of the wild man. So,
good.
Now, guys, again, we saw the movie. It is fantastic. It's The Conjuring. It's coming out next a week from tomorrow.
July 19th is the day.
There's yes. a sneak peek Thursday night show.
And okay. that's kind of the way you see this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, you should have to see yeah. it with a full crowd.
See with other people.
Now, we're not going to let you go that quick because I know Schmoville is waiting to ask you questions via phone, via Twitter, via Facebook. So we're going to ask a couple questions here from the guys at Schmoville, guys and gals at Schmoville. And this is from all the fans. Here's a couple. All right, so this is from Charlie Richardson. What's the key factor in making an original horror film? Is it the acting? Would it be just the script? Do you think it's the music? Do you think it's the placement of the scares?
I think it starts with a story first, to be honest with you. I think if it feels very original and effective and visceral, where it's going to really latch on to you, that's what we look for in our movies because audiences will identify with it. And if you want it to be fresh, and then, of course, you know, to answer the question, is acting is paramount. And in our movie, The Conjuring, we were so fortunate because we
so
had a
good,
top,
the actors,
top-notch
yeah. uh-huh.
director and the studio was behind it. We were able to hire really very talented actors who could bring something to the role. And again, they elevated the page for okay. us as writers.
And this is along the same lines, but a little different. From Aaron Ryan, how do you make a horror film seem as original as possible, considering that it is a genre where most everything has been done before?
Wow, good question.
Again, it goes back to story.
Yeah.
And I also think in order for scares to work and for you to remember, you have to care about the characters.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you think like Exorcist and Poltergeist and you know, the classics, it's even The Omen. You know, you mm-hmm. think about, those were scary movies, but if I care about them, I can relate to them.
Right.
Therefore, I'm scared more, mm-hmm. you know, versus what you were talking about earlier about the regurgitated horror movies, yeah. low budget, I right. hope it hits. Scare.
Right, let's just get the dollars in there.
It's yeah. the same thing with the real demon that they talk about. It's like once it smells your fear, it's too late, Jack.
All right, let's
call the priest.
Now we're going to go to the phones here. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got? Sweet.
This is the demon from...
Yes, lost static. All right, hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got? What's going on with the phones, Johnny? Is there anything wrong
with them? I think I know what's going on with the phones.
I know. Let's try it. We'll try it one more time.
Cue the music again.
All right. Wow, something. This is scary. This never happens to the phones. All right, someone's on the phones. Here it comes again. I'm trying again. All right. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Christian.
Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, Christian.
Hey, who is it?
My name is Aaron Ryan.
Hey.
I love you.
Hey, Aaron, man. So what's up? So we just answered your question on Facebook too. How about that?
Do you have a backup that can take off the clipboard and get into the game here?
Wait, you're getting full screen here. Can you turn your computer down, buddy?
You know, I mean, if you know me on like Twitter or whatever, and Facebook.
Cool. So do you have another question that you'd like to ask the writers of The Conjuring, Aaron?
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, my God.
Aaron died in 1976. Yeah,
hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
What's going on, guys? The Time Lord, Mark Aquino.
Hey, Mark Aquino. So we are with the Hayes Brothers, writers of The Conjuring. Got a question for him, my man.
What's your next project? Because this movie, I just saw a screening. I will be wetting my pants for the next few days.
Oh, you're awesome. You're so awesome.
That's the name of our next movie.
Wetting your pants.
All right. I like that. For the next few days.
All right, Mark, thank you. So Mark asked, what's your next project? What's going on?
We just finished, actually out of genre, doing a Western for New Line, mm-hmm. Which we're very excited about.
Cool. Now, let me ask you, does the Lone Ranger thing scare you?
No.
No, not at all. No. You're so that confident in what you got. I love
it's
that.
Way different. Okay. It's big, scopey. It's kind of a Braveheart kind of.
I'm in
I was going to say, and again, I'm not here to give you guys advice, but I wouldn't call it the Lone Ranger. That's just me knowing that's my expertise.
Your gut feeling.
It's my two cents.
But to answer your question, I mean, as far as genre, let's just knock on wood. The Conjuring, you know, does over the top, and there, you know, obviously could be a chance to do a second one if we can do well on this one. We wrote it in hopes of a franchise to be able to continue to tell stories through Ed and Lorraine. So
thousands of case files. Yeah. I want to make so many of these movies that we get through the interesting ones, and then we're just like, yeah, the whole movie is just it was Rusty Pipes.
Right,
that's what's right. making the noise.
Got another great,
totally explainable.
Yeah, we got another great question here from Derek Dershmeisher on Facebook, who asks, do either of you guys read or watch reviews, and do you think it affects your work in any way, and do you think that it might be somehow unhealthy if you do?
Besides Schmozno, we know your guys.
We worship Schmozno.
I love that. Yeah.
Because Schmozno.
Their opinion's the only one that can.
I love that.
Thank you.
Heard it here.
And the free beer.
That's a very good question, too. No, we don't really follow them. We get sent all the big blocks of them when the movie is reviewed, and they send them through. And, of course, you're more interested in the positives and then why are they positive. That's what we try to focus on as far as filmmakers, because if there's a consistent gray area where everyone has a bump or a problem, that's something that we would like to address.
I also think it's a learning process for us, because if you get like consistent response saying, we really like the family element of this movie, mm-hmm. that shows you something.
Yeah.
And you
go,
okay, that's people a great identify. Core thing to remember.
Yeah, that's what you want.
And to build on.
I love that. All right, let's try to take one more call, see if we can get the ghost calling in from Schmoville.
Okay.
Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, it's me, Anthony from Miami.
Hey, Anthony. So we're here with the Hayes Brothers. You got a question about The Conjuring.
Yes, I do. Since you guys want to possibly make more films in regards to The Conjuring, is there any worries that it could get maybe watered down? Because, for example, with the Amityville Horror films, they were done so many times over that when you watch them now, it just doesn't have the same impact.
I'll tell you. Here's this is what we love about this franchise. You will never see the same movie twice. Ever.
Yeah.
It's not the same house.
And you guys know because you've seen
We have thousands of cases
to choose from. You'll see Ed and Lorraine and how they deal with things, but you'll never be in the same environment, never with the same other characters,
you won't
never
go back
with the
to
same
that house.
I'm telling you, we have researched so many of their stories and their case studies. It would blow your mind.
So you'll never see and Patrick come back?
Ed and Lorraine. They're the franchise.
Okay, so it wouldn't be like another people. Sometimes they have to. Okay,
you won't see like a haunted shark and Fonz has to jump over it on his jet ski.
Yeah. So
haunted Sharknado.
Yeah. Let's say one more question here. So what do you guys from Seth L. Gaynor? What are some of the newer horror films that have influenced you guys? Are there any in particular? And maybe which
I'd stretch it to all time. Too,
they said, and also which older films? Trust in Schmovo. Yeah.
I think especially for me, I can't speak for Chad, but I think like things that impacted me largely were again, I mentioned Omen, The Exorcist, The Shining, Strangers.
Yeah.
Because it was so simple.
Yeah.
You know, it was so simple, but scary.
Yeah.
It was really scary. But I think at the same time, probably Poltergeist more than anything because I like the family element in danger and what's going to triumph versus, you know, a blood fest or a gore porn or something like that where I'm not interested in seeing how that unfolds. I want the mental turmoil. I want to know what are the obstacles.
It totally showed in the movie for sure.
Yeah. I don't care how many people are attached to the human centipede. I'm more, I had money riding on the house in Vegas in Poltergeist.
I hate the fact that we have to let you guys go soon, but I want to before we do. We have a fan and a friend of the show who's here too. He's in from New York and he's on a YouTube channel. He's another movie reviewer, Mothman Jones, and he actually has a question for you guys. He's live in studio.
Mothman Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
California from New York City.
Hit the mic.
God, this is crazy.
Put your face in the mic.
Oh, wow. Am I doing this right?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You sound great.
Yeah, I saw the movie back in May and I was really affected by it. And I grew up watching all of these 1970s horror movies. Mm-hmm. I snuck them in because my parents wouldn't let me watch them. Anyway, but were you trying to nail the 1970s tone with this movie? Like, you talked about Amityville Horror and Poltergeist, but were you trying to nail that 1970s vibe with the setting of the story?
We totally wanted to do that. For us, it was – and James, in our lunch, he was so on board with that because we wanted to do a period piece. We wanted to do pre-cell phones. We wanted to do out of this world that we're aware of today, you know, that everyone has access to. And so for us, yes, 100% set out to do that.
And the production design reflected that too because I felt like I was in like
Julie
my grandma's
Burgoff
house.
Did
and
an amazing job.
Yeah.
She really did.
It was unbelievable. And you know, one question I would ask really quick for our comedian buddies coming in, Lucy Antini and myself, we're on the road a lot. We stay in these hotels all the time. If there's an evil spirit in there, what the hell do we do?
You know that?
Change hotels is true. Don't get imprinted on.
Call Holiday Inn Express and speak Latin backwards.
Yeah,
thanks for the
backwards.
Tips, guys.
All right, so if you want to miss the horror film of Grown Ups 2 this week, make sure you check the real horror film next week. Again, guys, so we are so happy to have you guys in studio. Will you please come back and join us again? The guys can find you, Schmoville can find you on Hayes Brothers Movies, Hayes Brothers Films. Hayes Brothers Films at Twitter.
And on Facebook.
On Facebook. And make sure you follow them on both those platforms because you're going to see a lot more from these guys. They're great dudes.
I'm going to go home and watch Rad. Can I borrow
the DVD? Yeah, you can. You absolutely can.
I can't watch. It's too scary.
But again, so Johnny, when you play us out, Schmozno Podcast, we'll say goodbye to Cherry and Carrie and Chad, and we cannot wait to have you guys back on.
Thank
again.
You.
Good
Thank
luck
you
in the movie, guys.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you
us. Thank
Listen
you.
Listen to the music here.
Nice. Perfect.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the new sportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the new sportsguru.com.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore. Everything you're looking for.
Kindle. Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney.
Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff.
System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
Hey, Toad Hop listeners, this is Freddie Lockhart and Candace Thompson with What's Good, starring Freddie Lockhart and Candace Thompson. And we are a show that knows a little bit about a lot. We talk about hip-hop, we talk about other people who can't help themselves, and we talk about all sorts of things, music, TV, gossip, you name it, we do it. Be sure to check out our show live every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the ToadHopNetwork.com. And if you miss it, go back and watch it on ToadHopNetwork.com or download the audio from iTunes. Don't be a jerk. Do it. While you're there, leave a comment and rate the show. It's very important, Candace. They have to leave a comment and rate the show. You know why? Why? Otherwise, we'll be on the bottom. And we like to be on the top, don't we? I know I do. Yeah, girl.
With Gamefly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. Gamefly.com. Games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's this? Is this scary music? I can't tell you.
Can't tell.
Maybe it's just because we have the Hayes brothers.
See,
I can't tell. This could be a scary children's
this
toy.
Is scaring me, yeah.
Playing
this
the accordion
yeah,
right
concerning.
Now. But again, we're all a little freaked out here, and yeah. We are very happy to have welcomed the Hayes brothers, the writers of The Conjuring, in theaters next weekend, July 19th is when it comes out. Those guys were great.
Oh, my God.
Chad and Carrie coming in. You talk about tough acts to follow, but you know what? If you have a you got somebody you got to follow, you bring in a headlining comedian.
Oh, right.
Like the one, the only, Ken Napsok. It is good
to
have
you.
We have our special guest this week as well is a very funny comedian. You guys can catch him from coast to coast on your TV sets, on your iTunes, and in your eyeballs. You can check out his book. His name is the one, the only, Mr. Lou Santini.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Lou, my first question, because I asked the Hayes brothers this,
yes.
is have you ever, because we're both on the road a lot
yeah.
as comics,
right.
have you ever had, like, any, do you believe in this stuff, this paranormal stuff? Because
I believe
we stay
in
a lot of bad hotels.
No, I definitely believe in it, but some of the condos that you stay in are way worse than any haunted house.
The comedy condos? Yeah.
Those are the worst. Thank you. But I do believe in it, but I've never had any issues on the road.
Okay,
but I do
so.
Believe. My mom actually had some stuff happen with my grandfather. He actually... back in the day before I was born.
Is this more psychological terror betwixt the two? Or
it's... No, this is just a... there was a Ouija board in the house that they worked a lot.
Oh,
and
wow.
At one point, my grandfather was in bed. The bed flipped him up and pinned him against the wall, the mattress.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a thing.
I call
that's
that an event.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah.
Because they were messing with a Ouija board?
Yeah. They
my grandmother, for the show.
My grandmother worked the Ouija board a lot. My mom herself, she is a psychic, and she knows a lot about that stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, the ghosts tend not to mess too much with a psychic.
Yeah, she does table raisings and that kind of stuff. She does them all the time at her house, and, you know, people pay money to have her do that.
So. That's amazing, man. Well, we welcome in Lou Santini. Yeah. Welcome back,
hey,
Christian
Harloff.
And we got a little bit of business to cover right
what
up
we
front.
We
want you guys to check out one of our favorite sponsors, Ripped Apparel. They make these great t-shirts that we wear all the time. You guys can go to their website, rippedapparel.com, through our widget that is on the Schmoes page on Toad Hop Network.
Yeah, and the code's changing. It changes up. I have one on now, too. This is a Goonies one that I love. I love this one.
I have my Hamsters of the Universe.
It's pretty great. Candace one, too. Now, so it changes. It's going to be SK Pacific in honor of Pacific Rim this week. It's going to change every week. So it was on the 1st. It'll change on the 8th. So just all you have to do is keep checking. Whether it be the podcast, we'll tell you what the code is. Check Facebook, check Twitter. We'll let you know what the code is. You get $1 off. It's really worth it. You get great shirts. And again, you just go to ToadHopNetwork.com, look at the little widget. You go to Ripped Apparel, check out the shirt for the day. It's worth it.
Booyah.
Booyah. All right, so have we gotten into what we're talking about here on the with Mr. Lou Santini and Megan? We're talking about movie monsters and movie robots. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, so it's monsters and robots, not just robots?
Yeah, I thought it was robots.
Yeah. You can do monsters. Let's break down what Pacific Rim is exactly, because they're monsters, but they're also aliens that come from below as opposed to above, and then to fight them, humanity created robots. So we can talk about our favorite robots of all time.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
And if you want to throw a little bit of a human in with like a Murphy as RoboCop, then you also talk about your favorite monsters of all time. Your purebred monsters, your monsters from outer space, whatever. It's an open forum.
General
Nobody's
monsters.
Judging. They're just enjoying it.
So
there's no wrong answers.
That's what
answers
I love about you guys.
There's no wrong answers. All right, so let's have Lou. Lou, can you go ahead and either monster or robot, who's one of your favorites of all time in movie history?
Here's the thing. When it comes to robots, I thought about this. I feel like a robot should either be funny, scary, or just over the top.
Serve a purpose.
It should serve a purpose, in a movie. When it comes to funny, and keeping in mind this movie is old and when I saw it when I was younger, but Johnny Five from Short Circuit.
Yes.
Okay?
Uh-huh. It's on my list.
Is it on your list?
It's on my list. If you go to our movies.com, by the way, if you go to movies.com and you go to the Schmoes Know Top 5, we have Robots and Monsters. Check that out now. That's on my
list.
Because
you feel bad, like when he shuts down everything. That's one of the few robots.
Struck by lightning, it turns alive.
Yeah, you feel bad when he gets shut down and everything. You're actually like, man, I'm actually feeling sad for this inanimate object.
This asshole hates Johnny Five. Not you. What? Not you.
My Groundlings writing partner, Tim Blaney, is the voice of Johnny Five.
I was just going to ask you that voice.
Oh, are you serious? Well, it's adorable.
I have a beef to pick with your former Groundlings cohort, because I would rather watch Josh and Sam again than...
Oh. How dare you?
Does nobody remember
Josh
and Sam?
Your mama was a snowblower.
Josh and Sam. I have a feeling Johnny Ice was one of the stars of Josh and Sam. He just shot me a look like, dude, why would you bring up?
Why are you talking about my movie?
I just got so annoyed by Johnny Five and by Fisher Stevens in perhaps the most racist performance of all time when he's running around playing this Indian dude. And it just, I just hate watching those.
Is that why you hated Wally?
Have you seen Johnny Five recently?
No, but when I saw it when I was, younger.
Yes, I watched it like a year ago and I was like, this movie's horrible.
Oh,
it's not good.
But it's like when you see Monster Squad. I mean, it's a time, because when you watch Eddie Murphy Raw, he's dropping F-bombs that he wouldn't do today. But but it's also a whirlwind performance.
Oh, yeah.
But then you watch something like Short Circuit. And no, that's not the same reason why I dislike Wally. I dislike Wally because nothing fucking happens for an hour.
Thank you.
All right. I did that. I went on my Wally rant last week.
Let's go positive here. Okay. Now, okay. So, Megan, who do you got? Robot, monster, who are you picking?
I didn't know there was monsters, but if we're going to talk about monsters, my favorite monster of all time is Stitch.
Oh, it's a great one, Lilo. Yeah. But is he
Lilo a monster too?
He's an alien.
I guess he qualifies. He fits the theme.
Megan, you were looking at Christian when you delivered that news of Stitch as your favorite monster. You should have seen the look Lou Santini shot here.
I always see the look.
Was Godzilla not available? Did Mothra miss the call?
I was just going to say, even like the really cheesy monsters from back in the day, anything from Mystery Science Theater 3000 will work.
That's like the Broncos picking Tebow.
Reference.
With the first pick in the monster draft, Megan Finley selects Stitch.
Yeah, Stitch
is kind of like my spirit animal.
All right, Stitch.
So you identify
with Stitch.
And that was a conversation Christian and I had when we were doing our top five monsters and robots. There was talk that maybe you include like a Mike or a Sully from Monsters, Inc. But you know what? Monsters are they're one of my wheelhouses when it comes to movies. And my favorite monster of all time is a really big animal. But he was a monster,
right,
and he was worshipped as a god.
I'm also right here.
Fighting out of Skull Island, the one, the only, King Kong, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a great one.
Is he a monster, or is he just a really
Are you kidding?
Big...
You're a hot blonde. He's a boyfriend to you.
How can you ask that when you just said Stitch?
Really?
Wait a minute.
Parameters need to be clearly defined.
Check your monster privilege
I'm
for
with
a second.
You that Stitch is
Y'all
a monster.
Just said we're not going to judge each other, and I'm feeling super judged right now.
Because you judge King Kong, motherfucker.
Yeah. I didn't judge. I just asked a fucking question.
Nice, fine.
I think King Kong is my favorite, and he's
turn into a monster.
He's an enduring monster.
You're an enduring monster.
Sometimes he is.
What, King Kong?
Yeah.
No, but he's still that guy you think of when you think of a big money. Nobody's thinking, hey, let's Muddy Joe Young is my favorite giant gorilla of all time. It's King Kong, man. And it doesn't matter whether it's 1933 versus the Peter Jackson one. The 1976 one is special for a different reason, because Jessica Lange looked unbelievable.
I'm gonna go,
Lou?
I'm going to go monster and robot here.
You're combining?
I'm combining.
This has never been attempted. This is like the Doritos Taco Show.
For my monster, I'm going to go with Godzilla.
Oh, I thought you were combining.
No, I'm going to go with Monster and Robot. I'm going Monster, which is going to be Godzilla, because Godzilla, I thought so. King Kong was a little more radical, and he couldn't be controlled. He wasn't bad or good. He's more like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He's going to win the fight, though.
And yeah, but Godzilla was played more on the good side. He would protect people and fought King Kong and fucked them up. So.
Okay, Godzilla
and
fought.
Has there been a more prolific monster in the history of monsters
than Godzilla? I mean, Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla has like 27. Godzilla's
the guy.
One second on that. Yeah. Often you always say, like, I refer to the movie Training Day. Uh-huh. Denzel Washington. King Kong ain't got nothing. He referenced King Kong. He didn't go with Godzilla.
Yeah, well, he also got killed.
And they always say, they always say, this guy's got King Kong size ball, and this is the King Kong of this. Yeah, they don't really do that with Godzilla.
Because a lot, I guarantee in different countries they do.
Yeah.
Here's my thing about Godzilla, is that Godzilla was a little bit more of a whore when it comes to signing on the dotted line to make a movie. Godzilla would make a movie with Abbott Costello if they put the contract in front of him.
No, seriously, Godzilla is a whore, is a movie whore.
King Kong was a little more selective, but King Kong did fight Godzilla, and I believe they fought to a draw, which I guess is fair, but I think that in a fight, and Christian, again, you're the UFC guy. Yeah. I enjoy boxing. Lou, I know you're a big hand-to-hand combat fan.
He's both. You like both, yeah.
I think that King Kong wins that fight. I think his
quickness,
really?
Though. He
I
lost.
I totally think Godzilla wins
but
that
Godzilla,
fight.
But Godzilla, they fought.
And he also
breathes
fire.
Shoot fire out of his mouth.
A draw.
Fire beats punches.
Yeah, right,
King Kong is fast.
We all can agree that they're both. Hot. Yeah, but so here,
they should be on the
here's
list.
Here's my rope, Johnny. My music's up.
Christian is like a substitute teacher right now. He's like class.
Well, yeah, because now I want to get into my. Here's my robot.
Dude, wait. By the way, before I'm sorry, but before he comes back in the studio, Makuga's fucking
scared out of his mind. I love it.
He's
been pacing the hallway searching for ghosts.
Everybody pranked Makuga the night. Just hang up and call him and hang up.
He didn't even see the movie. All right. I want to give my. Here's my clip. Here's my clip for my robot. Okay, and I want to see if you guys agree.
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Happy birthday, Molly.
The robot from Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Sort of like 80s.
Absolutely.
Synth robot.
The only reason he loses a point is because they turned him into a chick halfway through it. So,
no, I think the robot is sexier because Paulie got this because Rocky had so much money after he defeated Clubber Lang. He's like, oh, get my brother Paulie. Get him a robot. Yeah. So the robot brings him the birthday cake.
I'm sorry. I have not seen this movie, so this sounds amazing.
Why?
Rocky IV,
right? Great.
Oh, yeah, so the robot just brings him the birthday cake.
Paulie also programs it to bring it beer. And it talks like a woman. Oh, going on that vein, my favorite robot. 80s robot of all time is the robot that helped clean up the fraternity in Revenge of the Nerds.
It's a good one.
Come on.
I love the subgenre. My favorite 80s robot.
That's an 80s robot.
In a comedy.
It also sounds like an 80s movie. So my favorite robot.
The award for best robot in a comedy or musical this year.
So, Lou, who's your favorite robot from 1932?
Yeah, right.
Pants.
Was it The Day the Earth Stood Still? That guy, that one is.
The super button.
I also... if we're doing monsters, also Ken would know what was the name of that giant robot?
Rancor Monster.
There you go.
Oh,
I think you finished the question. The big giant thing where
Ken's been urging
when he was thrown into the pits and that thing.
In Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
The Rancor?
Yes. That was pretty. That was badass.
I'm going to read some.
There's so many great robots and monsters just in the Star Wars universe.
I know. We could talk forever about that.
Droids. I mean, you got to
mention. Natalie Portman's acting.
Oh, Napsock.
Zing.
Yeah. That's not nice.
What about the Kraken?
Oh, that's not nice.
Kraken's a great one. Kraken is a great one from Clash of the Titans.
The first one. The first
R2-D2 and C-3PO.
I'm going to read some tweets. I'm going to read some tweets.
God, this is going to lead to a fight.
Tweets.
Okay, it is time for Christian to read some mobile tweets.
All right, at JPH29, Joffrey is a great monster. From Game of Thrones of Fame.
Inbreeding.
It kind of counts. All right, so we have also at Kiafka. I think the Gremlins are some of the best monsters ever. Gremlins are
pretty
great.
I know the guy who did the model who designed those.
Gremlins?
Yeah.
Those are pretty great.
Back in the old school days, he had to do them with clay and then do the other things. And he did it bottom of a house.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you watch Gremlins as a kid and you love it. Then you get a little bit old and you're like, you can tell it's claymation in some scenes or whatever in the big scenes. And then you watch it again as a full-blown adult when you see what they've been able to do with all these great special effects. And you're like, that Gremlins is a great movie.
Yeah.
It's got humor. It's scary. And the Gremlins look. Spike, that's a great monster.
Yep. Right. Okay. So another. This is going to the robot. At Omar the Movie Guy, favorite robot, how about HAL 9000?
Yeah.
You got to count him as a robot.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a computer
robot.
gone wild.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he's one of the scariest
ones. 9000 creeps
you
out. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you need a special brownie and you're in college and you've never seen 2001 before. Just right, right when that brownie
that's,
kicks
that's,
in.
That's a computer, that's though. That's not a robot. It's a computer. I don't care.
But no, see, but no, you know, that's what I said, though. But the thing is, too, a computer...
robot should be mobile.
He's got, like, sentience or whatever.
No, see, I don't think that.
Wait, I want to get the Lou Santini definition of what a robot can do.
Well, I'm just saying. I said a robot should be mobile, for one. It should help me. And by the way, if I get technical, isn't C-3PO a droid,
but
not
Bill
a robot?
Gates is
technically, yes, that's a droid.
Wait, a droid. So does that mean Bill Gates is not human?
What?
Because he's not mobile.
You mean Stephen Hawking?
No, he's a human being.
Say?
We didn't say.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen Hawking. Damn it.
I was right there.
You had your mind.
Let me ask you this.
But I didn't say he was a robot.
Someone break Bill Gates' legs.
Everybody, let's relax. Let's relax. Would you say that Deep Blue is a robot? Because it's a computer
that
can play chess really well. It's the computer that beat a human at chess, Deep Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that could kind of be.
Yes, if it has a task to perform.
I agree. It's more than the HAL 9000
and a bit of a sentient being, I think that's a robot. But if it's not mobile.
If you want to go back to a mobile robot, then there is no robot that is faster or more mobile, literally, in the world of time travel than the Terminators.
Oh,
I mean, those are some pretty badass robots.
Yeah, well, and I would probably say the original, the 84 Terminator, more than... It's just it's a liquid metal. It's like you have the... The actual... He just seems like a robot to me more than anything else. Like the other liquid metal seems... I don't know. It's
like a shortcut.
It's like a CGI trick more than anything else. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
It's a great
evolution.
Thing. I know, but I mean, it's more of a. Does he really seem like a robot, or more than like water that turns into stuff? I don't know.
But you also like the Terminator film. You like Terminator 1984 more than Terminator 2, which I think is poppycock. This is going to be a splint in our relationship and our friendship.
I am a big fan of Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
And I like Terminator 1 a lot.
I love the movie. I'm just saying that it's totally
different. Yes, Lou, did you have a question?
Technicality. $6 million man is thy god. I grew up on him.
Do we count that?
No, because he's part human. Like, and I wouldn't count Bishop from Alien.
But I said you can mention, like, RoboCop needs to be mentioned in any conversation.
He's part human. RoboCop is.
That's why I think he's a cyborg. I don't think he's a robot.
See, that's why I talked about C-3PO, because he's a droid.
Well, but he's still. I mean, that's just droid in Star Wars terms.
Bringing up names to you guys is like asking a PGA Tour commissioner for a rule. It's like, not well, in bylaw 17, section -A.
We're gonna be those.
I'd like to submit Mr. Roboto from the videos.
So, I mean, again, we talked about this, a favorite robot and monster from Point Break, Keanu Reeves and Gary Busey.
And Channing Tatum.
Yeah, my brother had a funny tweet about Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder are his two favorite robots.
That was a good
one, too.
Right. At Myers FTW, Ken will agree with us. His favorite monster is Bobby Finstock.
I will also agree with that.
Yeah, okay. So what about...
I think monster is a broader kind of definition, too. If you extend it to classic movie monsters, which you should actually start there, then you have Frankenstein's monster.
Right, well, right,
with
of course.
There's a million Draculas out there.
And Dracula. Yeah. Now, who's the greatest classic movie monster of all time? Because Monster Squad tried to settle the debate.
Right.
We found out Wolfman had nards, and they were as sensitive as human nards.
Do you know Shane Black wrote that, by the way?
Shane Black wrote Monster Squad? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He loves his F-bombs, doesn't
he? Telling you.
I still think Dracula takes the cake because I think he's got the... He can turn into a bat. You know, Frankenstein...
Frankenstein is like...
He's slow.
In the first
round. Wolfman's a scary dog.
He has monster in the name, though. His name is Frankenstein's Monster.
I like Lou. He's like drafting people. He's like, too slow. Who's next?
It's a combine. Yeah. The monster combine.
Yeah. Wonderlick test, you know. Yeah. I'm also thinking of... American Werewolf in London. Now that to me was
a scary
monster, you know, as opposed to Jack Nicholson and Wolf.
You and me are both on Team Jacob, is what you're saying.
I want to take some calls from Schmoville and see where they're at in regards to both monsters and robots. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, this is Stuart from Hawaii.
Stuart, what's up, dude?
Aloha.
So where you at? You're at. We're talking monsters, or are you talking robots? Who do you got?
I actually got one of each, if that's okay.
Sure. What do you got?
Okay. So, the monster I have is the, I forget the name of it, but it's the monster from Lord of the Rings. Like, has all faces.
Which one?
Oh, Sauron? No, the dragon?
The Balrog?
Which one?
Yeah,
the Balrog, I think.
Balrog.
The 1 week Tiffany Smith is out.
I know, seriously.
She's not a good test taker. I think she'd get
didn't
that
see
one.
It.
Screaming right now. Okay. And for robot?
None of them.
Lou Santini was just banned from Schmoville.
Yeah, seriously.
Can't, won't.
And as far as the robot, You guys pretty much had all my robots, so I had to think of one on the spot. So I was going to say the mech from Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
But is that human, though, or is it?
Power Rangers fight other things.
Oh, okay.
They aren't
robots.
Human.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about all everything mechanical and Maximum Overdrive?
Wow.
Would you call those robots?
Wait, did we mention? Thank you, Stuart. And
I
forgot to mention? The Transformers.
Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Let's talk about great robots.
Yeah, so I mean, those are some right there. We got some other ones.
And the Chevy Camaro.
The monster, the monster from Cloverfield at Brent Parker in 1985. Regardless, Josh the intern gave it a thumbs down. But it could be somewhat scary. JTI, come here.
Scary monster, and I wanted to see more of what they were going to do with the Cloverfield monster. Right,
I know a scary monster. That thing in the box in that one movie, in the part of the movie Creepshow. That thing.
Oh yeah, that was.
The
gorilla was scary too. In
yeah, that.
All right,
Adrian Barbeau.
JTI, what do you got?
Originally, I was going to say RoboCop, but officially, that's a cyborg. I would say.
That's right. Yeah.
For favorite monster, I was going to say King Kong or the Thing, even though that would be alien.
Very good.
We're doing aliens because it's inspired by Pacific Rim.
They're still monsters.
Cool.
He like turns to a monster by the end of the movie, so I think it qualifies. But besides RoboCop. Mega Godzilla's kind of one I always loved as a kid.
Oh,
we
want to get specific. Mega
Godzilla. Mega Godzilla, the robotic one.
Oh, okay.
That's good. Super duper Godzilla. Yeah. Ooh, I like it.
That's true. I mean,
that must have been a tough pitch. Okay, you guys remember the thing that just destroyed Tokyo? Right. Let's make a metal version of it. Who's with me?
If we're going aliens, then you got to go Predator.
I go Queen Alien over Predator.
At least we stayed focused on this whole conversation.
Yeah. But it's true. No, but you look at it again.
I'm with
if you.
You
didn't know that they were aliens, you threw them around like, who's that monster? And the other things too. Like, do you consider Scully and Mike from Monsters, Inc.?
Absolutely.
I mean,
totally.
You got
right? Yeah. They're in Monsters, Inc. They're going to Monster University. They have to be monsters.
That's true. But I mean, I guess maybe not consider, but
yeah,
it's because they're not scary. Is why I'm saying. But neither, I guess,
monsters
neither Stitch.
Have to be scary.
That's true. Stitch was
Stitch
the first
scary.
One.
What's the point
have
of being a monster if you're not
Stitch?
Scary?
Stitch is like my old pug.
You can make a you're good like living as a monster doing telemarketing. Is anything where you don't have to show your face on a regular basis?
I have a question about if this is the robot or not.
Yes, she said as she twirled her long blonde hair.
Really? Like Targaryen like hair. Okay.
I have a question.
And cocked her head to the side.
Blade Runner.
Oh yeah,
I watched that the other night.
Because they have human.
He might be a human, might
be
parts.
Yeah. But they're made. They're made in a lab. They're not.
Who gives
actual...
a shit? I don't know if it's
okay.
Really
fair
case.
Enough. Why am I even here?
But I mean, like, we should have considered. Who cares? I mean, that's true. If it's too much,
I'll have our course stenographer strike that from the record. Megan asked me a question. Hey, is this a monster? Who gives a shit? We got a call in Schmoville.
I do have a call in Schmoville, and then we're gonna go to break because I'm gonna come back and talk about Comic-Con. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hello, this is Patrick Hoag.
Patrick Hoagie.
Yeah.
All right, Hoagie.
Do the yo.
Patrick
Hoag. Monster for you.
All right, what do you got, Hoags?
All right, technically an alien, but we're still doing that. So
play on
the blob.
The blob. That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one for sure.
Flubber.
Flubber could be a monster. Sure.
How about Jaws? Jaws is kind of a monster.
Yeah. Jaws is a monster. Ooh, that's a good one. Jaws is
Sarah
totally
Jessica
a monster.
Parker, Sex in the
so
City 2.
Halle Berry and Monster's Ball.
Yeah, all right.
Well done.
She's got a Monster's Ball.
Do you think that's about that all
day? All right.
Do you have a favorite robot?
Look at Monster. All right.
Hoagie, thank you for starting that debate of pure absolute chaos.
Real Steel is not... Real Steel is some pretty sweet robots. Patrick Hoag has talent.
That is some supernatural shit going on.
Seriously, we're haunted. This is a haunted ass podcast.
All right, guys, so we are going to go to a quick break. No, we're not. That's it.
Oh.
No breaks. Oh, I love it. Okay, good. No breaks. Okay, even better.
By the way, if we're talking now, we're going to get real specific with robots. Those little spider things in Minority Report, I thought were really good. And they were creepy.
Robots.
Yeah, those little, trying to scan Tom Cruise's eye. And also the aliens in War of the Worlds, I thought were really good.
Well, would you consider
the blood out of people? I thought that was really good.
Well, then here's a question, though, too.
Yeah, that was
then,
freaky.
Do you consider Agent Smith a robot?
I don't recall The Matrix well enough.
Really?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's hard to...
I don't. I don't give a shit.
To talk about the alien robots in Batteries Not Included.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed that picture.
Bicentennial Man?
How about this? At the Riddler...
Yeah. Are you just Googling
At the Riddler 109 tweets in, he counts Jason as a monster. He is dead after all. And I guess you can tweet. I guess you could say Freddy Krueger also. Yeah.
Freddy Krueger was a monster in life too. I mean, he did exactly. He's not the best babysitter in the world.
It's the truth.
And Mike Myers, are we going to do that? I mean, now we're off. I feel like we're getting off. Subject.
No, but why?
Luke.
No, but why?
I came here expecting a specific list. Damn it!
True. Yeah. And this studio's filthy.
Yeah.
But then beer bottles everywhere. Yeah.
And the mummy's not really a monster either. That's more of a zombie, right? The mummy is.
Don't get me started on zombies now.
Yeah. But zombies are monsters, yes.
How about Satan from the South Park movie?
How about just Satan?
Yeah, I mean,
how about Satan from Bill and Ted's Big Excellent Adventure?
Death. Death.
Death. Yes.
The Grim Reaper from The Bogus Journey.
You don't think you're going off course with that one?
Definitely off course.
Well, I figure, when in Rome.
Any of the leads in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
I know.
All
right, well, that's a discussion on Monsters and Robots. It was a lot of fun. The reason we were doing that again was because of Pacific Rim, which comes out this weekend. Mark and I saw it. If you want to check out our review, go to youtube.com/schmozno. Or schmozo.com in the movie reviews section. You want to check out what we thought. It was a lot of fun.
We were very happy about it. I'm happy to say that the action scenes in Pacific Rim with the robots fighting the monsters was a lot more followable than this last conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy about that. Sure. This last conversation was the last 45 minutes of Transformers.
Circular logic I've ever done.
Chicago has just been fucked up.
It was a lot of fun, but what else is going to be a lot of fun this weekend, or next weekend, is Comic-Con 2013, my friend.
It is going to be nuts. We're getting down there on Thursday. Yeah. We're gonna be doing interviews. We're gonna be doing Man on the Street. We're gonna be covering a lot of the panels.
Hall H
and
parties.
We're doing the parties. Yeah, that's very exciting.
Going to El Mayombe's party, which is gonna be a lot of fun.
So, and that's Thursday night.
That's Thursday night.
That's gonna kick off our first. Oh my.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Thursday night, so I wanted to let Schmobile know. So Schmobile's like, wait a minute. So you guys are out of town, so there's no podcast. There is a podcast, and the podcast
you cannot rob the studio.
No,
like
you cannot.
No,
because the podcast will be happening next week, and Mark and I will be calling in. Tiffany will also be with us. Ken Knapsack will be with us. Mark Riley will be with us.
Probably.
So what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
That means running the helm next week, Josh McCuga will be running the show.
What?
Yep. With Josh the intern at his side.
Josh.
And Megan Finley
maybe
will be back.
Maybe Megan Finley.
All right, and apparently Finstock is going to make an appearance in the studio. So you're definitely not coming back. All right.
I'm so not going to be here then. Sorry, dudes.
All right.
We're not going to have a show. I hate to quote the other coach from Rudy, but not a speck of athletic ability.
You know what? What are you guys saying? Also,
wow.
I'm going to punch you in the hernia.
Yeah. Right. So
what
again?
You guys would say, I'll go in your place.
Oh, you want to just go for us?
Yeah, I'll just go for you. What did you guys say, and I'll go.
That works.
I'll take it for the team.
I like it.
I'm really, really nice.
Well, speaking of the nice things, let's talk about the nice things that we're going
to. I trust Megan Finley with pink hair, not with blonde
hair. Fuck off!
Now, Lou, do you think you'd be able? Would you be able to survive at Comic Con?
How many days I gotta go?
Lou, you have to go. Can't even survive this conversation.
Yeah, sure. You have to go from Thursday to Sunday.
I trailed off during that. I was thinking about puppies and stuff.
Thursday to Sunday.
I think I could. Can I have liquor?
Fucking
yeah,
liquor.
Of course.
Then,
didn't you hear parties?
Considering some of the corporate stuff I've done, that's 4 or 5 days for Hewlett Packard. You know, and trying to be funny for four days. Now, yeah, I could survive that.
I'm gonna let Ken in on.
Lou last night couldn't survive 2.5 hours of Dark Knight Rises.
Don't get me
started. Yeah, there's no way he can survive.
But is there? But
all weekend.
The thing at Comic-Con is that there's so many things, and it's not just for fans of comic books or even comic book films anymore. It's a broader spectrum now. So I think that is there anything within the genre of any of these events that will be taking place at Comic-Con that you can immerse yourself in?
Do they have anything about Mad Magazine there?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
They also have a DeLorean that'll take you back when that was popular.
I grew up on Mad Magazine. I was a big Mad Magazine guy, and I just never got into that whole thing.
I was a big Mad Magazine fan for a couple years there, and a big William Gaines fan.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing about Mad Magazine is that those are collectible, especially the old ones, and so they have all these things. I was a huge baseball card nut. Me and Knapsack and Steve Simone, it was my birthday last week, by the way. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, shit.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I had a present I forgot.
We got into an hour-long conversation about baseball cards and sports cards, and they have that stuff at Comic-Con now. There is so much more.
God.
And how about this? If you're a huge metal, hard rock fan, Metallica is not only going to be doing a panel at Hall H on Saturday. They're going to be playing a secret show somewhere in downtown San Diego. I just sold Lou Santini.
I should be in a pitch meeting with the Hayes brothers the next time they're selling the movie.
So in other words, Comic-Con is like this conversation. I thought it was about robots, and next thing you know, it's all inclusive. Yeah, yeah, comic con's like metal porn and baking. And
yes, it's deviated very far from its original concept.
We are about metal.
It's again, Schmoes No Podcast. Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, Megan Finley, Steve Carell from the Way Way Back, and we are here to talk about Comic Con right now. And what I wanted to, like, one of the things I'm really excited about is this Godzilla thing. Talking about the monsters, Legendary is doing a thing. Apparently, the rumor is for Legendary. Is they remember what they did with Tupac a couple years ago with that hologram? The rumor is that they're going to do a hologram of Godzilla coming out of the ocean.
Whoa. Okay, that's the one time I'm going
to
say yes.
That's kind
yes,
of...
Yeah,
yes,
I'd be down
yes,
with that.
Yes,
that's
holograms.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
It's like right on the shore, and the Legendary panel is not only going to have Godzilla stuff, it's also going to have The Seventh Son, some stuff. It's a feature film coming up with Jeff Bridges, but the Godzilla thing is what you want to see. And so people don't know, is there going to be any footage of Godzilla? Are we going to get to see what the creature looks like? Hopefully it doesn't look like a bunch of velociraptors like the Matthew Broderick one.
Right.
But if Godzilla comes out of the... Because Comic-Con is like pretty much right on... an inlet of the ocean. You know, there's a big bridge. It could look really cool.
It could look cool if they do it, but if it shits the bed, you know, that's another thing.
I don't care. I still watch somebody attempt to do a hologram of Godzilla coming out of the
ocean. It's got
to
be better than the 98 years.
What if it's a pressure? You're like, nah.
Yeah.
Could have been a better hologram of Godzilla.
I don't mean if it like falters out, you know, like they go and it's like, oh, yeah, look at it. It's gone. It breaks. But like the thing is, too, like YouTube is going to shut down. That night, it's gonna blow up from like all the footage that happens. But oh my god! But that's gonna be a lot of fun to see how that happens. I'm also very excited about the Disney panel. Now they're doing a lot of Marvel stuff. I think there's gonna do more stuff on Phase 3 that's happening in the Marvel universe. But what I was upset about, and I guess they're not doing it, is that there's no Star Wars talk whatsoever.
Well, I was gonna ask you because Disney now has the rights to all the Star Wars movies. So the Disney panel intrigued me. That piqued my interest.
Right.
There's no announcements of any Star Wars things, but you got to figure there's a Star Wars movie coming out in 2 years,
right?
And there should be maybe you get a nugget, maybe you get a kernel, get
no, because I read today what they're going to do is Disney has this thing in Anaheim that they're going to do. It's
called Disneyland. It's an amusement park.
No, it's like a separate.
They have rides. You know kids go.
Disney Expo, and they're going to do all the stuff, and they're going to apparently the rumors are that some of the cast members will show up, and they're really going to dedicate more time to it.
Got it. So they'll starve you at Comic-Con and then beat you at this. So,
you know what you always get at Comic-Con is you get out-of-shape Jedis having lightsaber battles.
It would be like The Simpsons with Mark Hamill comes out and knocking down like cardboard cutouts with wing.
I want to take a call from Schmobile and see what out of the stories that they've heard so far that are coming out of Comic-Con or things that they want to hear. And look, some of the stuff that they maybe want us to report
on. Where do you want to send us?
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, you're in Schmobile. Who do we got?
Hey, guys. It's Georgie.
Georgie.
He's been having a night.
Georgie. So, all right, man. So what do you...
Wait. I want to hear about George beating Finstock, first of all.
Oh, yeah. George, there's a picture that we tweeted out today. George took a picture with Finstock. Met him in New York today. How'd that go down?
Okay. So I heard Finstock was in New York or something, and I was going to see a show yesterday. We were going to meet up for drinks. That didn't happen, and then I had to do something else in the city today. I met up with him. Apparently, he owns a shoeshine parlor. I shit you not.
Of course he does.
The guy owns a fucking shoeshining place. Yeah. And he got hit on by fucking some celebrity at the shoeshining place.
Alan Rickman works there.
Megan hates him. So go ahead.
Don't say hate.
You hate him. Okay, so go ahead.
But yeah, we had a good time. We had drinks and got a free shoeshine and got some food, and it was a blast.
Nice. And you check out the picture on Georgie's Twitter feed. So George, out of the Comic-Con stuff going on, what are you excited about? What do you think we should cover?
It's something you guys didn't talk about, but I was not a huge fan of the first Hunger Games. Yeah. But I wanna the second one, the trailer has a sick tone to it. And are you guys gonna be checking that out?
I'm gonna try. Point? Yeah, I wanna see if I can hit Hall H. And Georgie just brought up the Hunger Games, the new one, Catching Fire. I'm excited for that, to be honest. I read all of the books. I'm a huge fan of the series.
Two high fives.
The movie itself, the first one, I'm with you, George, was a little underwhelmed by it. I think that the second one is in a better way because we have a good director. Not that Gary Ross isn't a good director, he is, but the director, I think.
Well,
first
he
one,
fucked up that movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think
wow.
so. I think we have
strong words.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I mean, again, the movie did really well, but this one is just going to be a different tone. I agree with you. I like the dark tone of it. I want to see what happens now on this panel. What they're going to, if yeah. there's going to be, they're going to announce
I'm
anything.
I'm hoping that they got the tone of the fans.
You guys, you know who you guys sound like is fans of the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. When it's like, no, when Angels and Demons comes out, that's going to be the great movie.
No,
because look, I enjoyed the Da Vinci Code, but I didn't read it. And I'm not going to read the Hunger Games. It's not going to happen. But I want, and I liked the first Hunger Games movie. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I don't like reading, but I love watching kids get in fights.
I do too.
Spikes and pine cones and whatever else they can
do. Kids. Come up with.
All right, Georgie. So be careful. Lock your doors because Finstock's out there. All right.
He wants your shoes.
Yeah. Again, so a couple more things that are happening. I mean, there's the Sony panel that's really big. There's Fox is doing their stuff.
Sony panel freaked me out last year because the Sony panel had these 3D things you put on. And then you can kind of like, then you're in this 3D virtual world. And it was like, remember Demolition Man when he has sex with Sandra Bullock? What they call sex in the future?
Rubbing rocks together.
Yeah, they're sharing each other or something, right? That's what they called it?
Virtual reality.
Yeah, that's what I felt like I was doing. And then I went to a futuristic Taco Bell afterwards and dined with Otho and Dennis Leary.
All right, so we're very excited about Comic-Con. It's going to be a great time. Really excited about it. You can check out all of our videos on youtube.com/schmoesknow. We'll do everything on Fandango. We'll be calling into the podcast when JTI and Josh McCougar bring down the whole ship.
Try not to burn the place down, boys.
Yeah. But again, we had the Hayes brothers on. Make sure you check out The Conjuring. But Lou Santini, who's been is a good friend of ours, we've known him for a very long time.
We're not 10 years, are we? Or if not longer?
Oh, shit, we got to be longer than
I've
that.
I've lived here 15. I would say.
We've known him for a long time. But you got to come back on again, too. And you got to check out Lou. So your book, your brand new book?
Yeah, it's on Kindle. Sad to say, I've emceed over 1,000 weddings in my lifetime.
Wow.
1,000. So, always hear about these books, you know. It's like, we see it. They're always geared towards women, 300 must-dos for your special day to make it perfect, that kind of shit. And I wrote a book, it's for men and women, both. And it's a bathroom reader, but it's like all the cheesy stuff I've seen at weddings. Like, here's what not to do.
Who's got the shitty cakes?
And here's why. Yeah. And here's what happened. Here's what you can do to prevent it. And you can just download it on Kindle. It's called, I forgot the name of my own book. It's really good book. Yeah.
You MC weddings. Here comes Mr.
and Mary Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
The Smiths. The Macellis.
Yeah, your wedding should not, how to go from wedding hell to wedding bells. Your wedding should not need a survival guide.
And we can also see you in Anchorman 2. Megan Finley. So you may or may not be back next week.
I may or may not be back.
Okay, so where can the good kids of Schmoville find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Megan Finley. They can also, speaking of weddings, find me on offbeatbride.com.
Was I saying you're announcing you're engaged now or something?
No, okay. I work for Offbeat Bride.
Because Lou is available.
Yeah. Have you never heard this about me?
No.
God damn it, we're not friends.
Yeah.
I'm
on Twitter
also
too.
On Offbeat Home. No, you're not. Shut up.
Sure, I'm on Twitter.
I'm talking. Me time.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robots. Oh, yeah. Monsters. Fighting.
Monster. I'd like to add Megan Finley to the monster list.
Oh, she was already at the top.
Keep food away from her, and that's true.
All right. Yeah, I get hangry.
Thanks to all of our guests, Megan Finley, Lou Santini, the Hayes Brothers, the writers of The Conjuring. Check that out in theaters July 19th. Special sneak previews Thursday night, July 18th at midnight, which is the same night that Christian and I are going to be kicking off our Comic-Con 2013 Schmoes Know Style.
And our buddy who's going to, our producer of the podcast, Ken Napsok, who will be there taping, doing a lot of our
documenting the experience.
Ken also has a great podcast called The Napsok Files with myself and Megan have both been on before, and I think Lou's going to be on soon.
I will be on soon.
Yeah,
I'm just waiting for the call.
Mark Riley's going to be on.
Just waiting for the call.
Ken, can you tell Schmoville a little bit about the show?
It is a conversation with my interesting and fascinating friends in this Hollywood business. This week, we're going to take it back to episode one, do an encore presentation of my friend and writing partner, the Matt Key. Matt Key tells how he got to L.A. and our writing stories. We got Dan Farron coming up on future episodes, tells great stories of being at the Comedy Store in the late 70s, watching Robin Williams, Rodney Dangerfield, and David Letterman bomb. It's great stuff. Mark Riley's coming up. Ellis
still waiting for the call.
I have some new equipment coming.
I'm Ken's roommate, and I got bumped.
that is a fact for Christian Harlow.
I got bumped, and I'm in the next room, and I got bumped.
Oh, man. When you get the light in your own apartment.
Start turning the lights on and off. That's it. Thanks for coming.
That's the truth. So, Ken. That's it. So you can check out on iTunes. Great. And then are we playing an episode after this?
Yeah, that's the Matt Key one.
The Matt Key one's coming on. Okay. Okay, guys. So
we're doing reruns before me and Lou get an episode.
If you don't follow us at Schmoes, no. At, is it L-O-U-U-U? How many?
L-O-U-U-U. Because back in my radio days, my listener was calling me go, Lou. And that's kind of stuck. So Lou Santini on Twitter, LouSantini.com, Facebook, and
the whole
not LinkedIn anymore. So, you know.
No more Friendster for Lou. He's moved on.
I wiped my hands with MySpace.
I love it. And I also to thank Mothman Jones for joining us today as well. Yeah. Check him out on YouTube. And, guys, that's it. It was a great show tonight. Thank you, Johnny Ice. Thank you, JTI, the whole crew, Josh McCouga, Wildman. Check out everybody on SchmoesKnow.com. You can find the whole hub there. Great show tonight. Peace out, Mother Fs.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.